Good morning.
I don't know why things are fun all so funny already this morning.
Exactly. That's the only way
Just
to
looking.
survive these days.
I'm looking for things to talk about because there's always so much. But
Yeah.
yeah, and I
Well, what's
had so
bringing
many
you? Yeah? Go ahead.
I just had I had so many ideas when I went to bed last night, but I didn't wake up with
I understand that.
Let's see.
Well,
Okay. I think we haven't done this. I don't remember the last time we did this. But almost everything begins, at least here, with I don't know, maybe I mean that's the wrong way to say it. Let's do it this way. Yesterday, no, you know what? Let's do it this way. Let's do a couple of fun things. I want to do the FDR's first inaugural address. I want to go through that, and I'll send you the
Okay.
links to it. I just realized how important that is. But I had a guy yesterday on Facebook. You know, I posted something. Let me see if I can find it. I posted something that I thought was somewhat comical. Maybe I see things as funny that other people don't, but it had to do with the concept of time travel or time the fact that I think that the Gregorian calendar is a time machine.
Absolutely.
Because it's a machine part or a machine for your mind. And so you are thrust into a role in some time frame based upon the Gregorian calendar or any other calendar for that matter, or any other mindset for that matter. But let me see if I can find this. Let me see. Oh, there it is. So there's a cartoon, and there's a woman standing in front of a headstone in a cemetery, and it says Carl Bloomfield, 1951-1924. So
Nineteen
he died before he was
oh,
he died
got
before he was
it.
born. And his wife is standing in front of the headstone and says, "I warned you about that time travel, that time machine, Carl." But it says 1951-1924. So it's
It good.
my comment above it was the Gregorian calendar is a time machine for Christians.
Yeah.
For Christians. And
There it is. I see it.
okay, yeah. And a guy, this can-do camo guy comments, "So a calendar is a time machine, WTF?" And I said, "It is a device by definition. A device. The calendar is a device by definition." And then I put a song by Ambrosia, "Nice, Nice, Very Nice," which is a beautiful song, but it really lays out that story. And he wrote, "So we can use a definition to go back in time." I mean, obviously he's mocking me at this point. And I said, "Should you choose to understand the device, I put in episode 95 of New World Order, which I cover the calendars with Chad." And he says, "Tell me then how a calendar can be a time machine." And I said, "I do in episode 95." I don't want to have to say things twice, you know? And he says, well, tell me, I'm not going to your spammy links. Tell me I'm not going to your spammy links. That's how I see the population today. He doesn't want to do any work. He wants me to tell him specifically what I've told 1,000 people in one phone call, or 10,000 people, or whatever. And I just, my final comment was, goodbye and good luck. And then I blocked him. That's what I run into quite often. I mean, that's probably why I have high blood pressure or whatever. Because most people, they can't get past what they think. They can't get past what they think. You and I have, over the years, covered so much ground where you have to suspend. You have to suspend what you were told, or your beliefs based upon what you were told. You have to suspend it. Only all of it. Only all of it. And I think that's what's so hard about this is that, I mean, in this journey, in this sojourn that we're all on, I've been able to look at what the media tells us, look at what the people that are controllers of this narrative, of the global narrative. I'm able to see through it really easy. At this point. Not when I started. I started. I fell for a lot of that garbage like everybody else, but 15, 16 years later, this stuff is easy, Linda. I mean, it's really easy. It's really easy. And so now everything I see, I can filter all of the nonsense out. And what comes through at the end of it, what comes through is the simplicity of their message. So they hide the truth. They hide the truth in their use of words, in their ideas, or in their their fear-based mechanisms, you know, through the media. It doesn't matter what it is, COVID or you know, the wars in the Mideast. It doesn't matter what they're promoting. You know, aliens landing, you know, Nibiru, all these weird things. But it's so easy to see through it when you realize the intent is to manipulate you. That's the intent. Once you know the intent is to get you to respond in a way that is favorable to their position.
Yeah.
Now you can see all of it and you go, I don't have to respond. I don't have to respond because the truth doesn't, there are no sides to truth. So if you stand in the light of truth, if you live completely in the light of truth, without any of your color, without any of your preconceived notions, without any of your the taint of your own personal experiences, the taint. Because, you know, if you grew up in an abusive family, you might have a negative view of family life, childhood. I don't. What I'm saying is that if you can stand in the light of truth, then none of this stuff matters because it's all fake, all of it. So that's all this is. It's getting to the place where you allow truth to be, and then you get to accept truth as it really is, which is all, without you filtering out any piece of the truth. Think about that. If truth is all, Linda, if truth is all, it's everything. It's isness. Isness. That's what truth is. It's isness. What is? What we do, based upon our beliefs, is we take the truth, or all, or what is, and we filter out some piece of it to benefit ourselves, some piece of it.
Yeah.
And we say, well, this is the truth. No, it's all true. Well, this is the truth. No, it's all true. And that's why when you understand that the devil is in the details, and a detail is anything less than all, one piece of something is a detail. One part of something is a detail.
It's
You know,
the elephant.
point. Go ahead.
It's the elephant and the blind men.
Right. It's that old Indian elephant and the what, seven or nine blind men. They're all touching one different piece of the elephant, and they're describing their experience with what their senses are telling them. One's touching an ear, one's touching a tusk, one's touching the tail, one's touching, you know, the side. They're all touching different pieces of the elephant, and they're describing the truth as it is to them, as they perceive it to be. And yet, what they're describing is a piece of the whole. So,
So detail
the
and
devil's in
etymology from
the
this. Yeah, I don't. I've never looked up
go.
detail before in
All
etymology.
right, so you're okay. I'm going to etymology, and you're at detail.
Yeah, literally
This is why we
cutting
get
into
together.
pieces.
Oh, really? Is that what it says? Okay, so.
Detailer.
Oh, and that's like the custom cutting of the umbilical cord. They're
Right.
tailoring this. They're tailoring a legal suit, which is the material that surrounded you in the womb. It becomes a legal suit.
Right. Read the
Think about
text
it. It's a
there.
custom tailored suit. It's a custom tailored suit. And what do they call it since the 1950s? They call it the Uniform Commercial Code.
Yes. Right.
So the UCC
Exactly.
is about the custom tailored suit. And that
Yeah.
custom tailored suit is the piece cut off of you that used to be the clothing you wore, the very biology you were wearing in the womb becomes the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC. But look at that detail. Attention to particulars. Look, there's the word right there, particular. Particular. Attention to particulars. Let's go to the definition of the word war, WAR, at Webster's. Definition of war at to be. I'm almost there. I'm in front of my computer this morning. I'm excited. I'm somewhat happy. Look at this, to be or not to be. To be for war says a struggle or competition between opposing forces or for a particular end. And that particular end is the piece that was cut off of us at the port of entry to the world beyond the womb. When they clamp and cut the umbilical cord, they create a particular end, and it's the particular end that evidences our true origin, our godly origin, our kingdom, our godly estate, our personal kingdom, our sovereignty. That particular end evidences your true origin, which is fertilization, and from fertilization to last breath, you are all present and account. If you are all present and accounted for, that is your natural equity. That's equity. So look at a particular end, going back to detail at etymology, it says attention to particulars. So the cut end, the piece that was cut off of you, is the particular. It becomes the detail, and the devil's in the details. Look at, if there's no detail, there's no devil, Linda. There's no
So read
de evil.
the se yep. And so
Go
read the
ahead.
second paragraph. The French on detail, piece by piece, item by item, as opposed to en gros, a commercial term used where today we use retail expanded from the senses of the noun, meaning a minute account or narrative, is from the 1690s. That of an
Oh.
individual part, a particular 1786.
Look at that.
A
Retail
small
comes from detail, and
detail.
retail is the selling of goods.
Exactly.
So look at when they clamp and cut the cord at the port of entry, you come out of mom. Baby comes out of mom, attached to the rest of baby's godly estate. The umbilical cord is part of baby. The extra embryonic is part of baby. They clamp and cut that cord, and they separate a piece of the baby into a detail. The whole baby is baby, umbilical, and extra-embryonic. The whole estate of baby is baby, umbilical cord, and extra-embryonic material. But when they clamp and cut the cord, they create a detail for retail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you sell and your soul.
And as opposed to ungross, and what do we use the word in English, gross, to mean something negative. Here it means the whole.
It means the whole. And
we've
even
made the whole, we made the whole bad.
Well, somebody did, and by agreeing that in gross, oh, that's gross. Yeah, gross is baby, umbilical, and extra-embryonic. But so what they do is they clamp and cut a piece of baby off, creating a detail for retail. And then, of course, we sell our soul. What does that mean? We sell our soul, which is our psyche, which is our mind. And it's our mind. When I believe something, my mind goes towards that belief, and it's that belief. Mm-hmm. So if I believe in the birthday, if I believe in the Gregorian calendar character, the birth certificated character, then I use, through that belief, I'm using the character born to that calendar, but the character born to that calendar isn't the baby. It's the umbilical cord and extra-embryonic human remains that die, becoming a decedent estate, a birth certificated decedent estate. Now, if I believe I am the birth certificated decedent estate, I am what? I'm paying attention to the detail. The detail is the decedent. And now my mind is, I'm actually offering my mind, my psyche, my ability to self-govern over to that position.
Attention to particulars, it says that's the
attention
first.
To particulars. And that's why, I mean, what people don't realize is that the second coming, the afterbirth, the human remains, if that's what we focus on, then we're going to suffer because those particulars are the details and the devil's in such details. So again, if I'm whole, Luke 5:31, King James Version says, they that are whole, Jesus' own words, they that are whole need not a physician. I don't need a remedy if I'm not sick. I don't need a prosthetic if I didn't lose an arm or limb. If I don't lose a limb, I don't need their prosthetic. If I'm not sick, if I don't need a remedy. Luke 5:31 is very clear about that. Jesus is in his own words, they that are whole need not a physician. And, of course, a physician is also known as a minister, which is also the administrative process in their lower courts. Let me finish reading the definition of detail at Etymology Online. It says, attention to particulars. Listen, if my attention is to my entire lifetime, if my attention is not to the details, not to the particulars, but to the entire life, that is what? All present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath. Now I am whole, and from fertilization to last breath, evidence is my natural equity. If I pay attention to the birth certificated particular, that's a detail. That's where the devil lives. Now, devil... I mean, it's pretty interesting that devil, D-E-V-I-L, is a mirror image to lived, L-I-V-E-D. So in the present moment, while I'm L-I-V-E, live, the mirror image of live is what? Evil.
Evil.
So when they clamp and cut the cord, what do? They create an image. A representation, a representation of what is true. So I am what is true. I am what is true. But the image of I am that you would view in the mirror, so to speak, that image is what? That's not live. That's evil. That's not live. I am live in front of the mirror. What's in the mirror is the reverse or mirror image of live, which is evil. And that is the representation offered by the birth certificate, which is what? Which is born, B-U-R-N-E, to the Gregorian calendar. Now, what is that Gregorian calendar? The Gregorian calendar runs from what? 1 to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
2024.
There's no first 0 to 1 in it.
There's no 0 to 1. But what is that calendar? What is 1 to 2024? The Christian calendar, it's known as the Christian calendar, or the Jesus calendar.
Gregorian.
So the Jesus, yeah, the Gregorian Anno Domini calendar is from 1 to 2024. Well, the problem with that is that if you're claiming the birthday, a birthday based upon that calendar, that's the Christian calendar. Created by Pope Gregory in 1582. So Christianity is within that calendar. So by claiming the birthday based upon the Gregorian calendar, which is a detail, let me say this very clearly, it's only a piece of the whole. It's not the truth, because truth is all. Truth is all or nothing. Truth is all or nothing. So if you claim only a detail, a piece of the whole, which is what the Gregorian calendar evidences, that's where the devil lives. The devil's in the details. So Christianity, I hate to say it, folks, but if you're claiming Christianity, you're frozen. You're frozen in a time frame that Pope Gregory created in 1582, and it ends at 2024. That's not the present. That's just a fictitious calendar timeline. It's a parallel universe. And sadly, those details being frozen in that time frame, that timeline, subjects you to the administrative process of somebody other than yourself. Somebody other than yourself, put it that way. And this is the mindset. This is the mindset that people need to get into, is that if all of my existence begins at fertilization and all of my existence ends at my last breath, my last expired breath, I mean, when I say end, I mean terminates. Expired breath. My last breath is an exhale. So my spirit leaves the body. If my entire existence is from fertilization and last breath, that's W-H-O-L-E. That's a whole life. But it begins in the womb, in the water, and it ends on the land outside the womb. It's all one life. There is no detail. There is no detail by definition.
Right.
There's no particular. Now, what's really weird about the present versus calendar time, the clock time, is that each second, each of those seconds, each of those hours, each of those segments in time, each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of those are broken up. So the present moment, which is always, is broken up into segments, and each of those segments become particular. A particular moment. See what I'm getting at? September 19th, 1960 at 3:58 a.m. is a particular moment in time. It's particular.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry, but it was when it happened, it was now. When it happened, it was the present.
Right.
But when you freeze it, when you freeze it into a time frame, it becomes a particular moment. And it can be dealt with at that level. And the details, that's where the devil lives.
Yeah.
You see that?
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm gonna go a little bit weird on you. Not that I don't do this all the time, but think about even Einstein when he speaks of mass, the mass or substance accelerating from one place to another, from going from A to B. At the speed of light. I mean, accelerating to the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
If I, from zygote, single cell zygote, even through the evolutionary due process of nature, from the one cell to the multi-trillion cell baby, and then from baby all the way to this moment, if I'm accelerating to the speed of light, Einstein's theory is that I will leave a trace of my mass at every point along that line. Well, that's the details, Linda. There's a piece of me left at every subdivision of time. There's a piece of me left behind according to that theory. So if there is a public record or a record, there is a piece of me left behind at every single moment, every subdivided moment in time. And mm-hmm. so they can recall any of those moments and say, you were like this back then, you were like that back then. And they can hold you accountable for back then.
If you don't know who you are.
If you don't realize that every moment is actually the present. See, you can't subdivide the present.
Mm-mm.
If I'm moving through time, W-H-O-L-E, then I leave nothing behind. I don't leave a trace mm-hmm. of me behind because mm-hmm. each moment is now. So I'm moving through in the now, but what they're saying is that by creating a calendar, by subdividing what they perceive to be time, they're saying that I can leave a piece of me back there. Remember that the past and the present are mutually exclusive. They can't be experienced at the same time. Hell, the past can't be experienced at all. You only experience the present.
Right.
No, you only experience the present. So what they're doing is they're holding us accountable to something in the past when we were never there.
Yeah. Wow.
We're only present. Life and God only exist in the present. So they're getting us to agree to a character frozen in an arbitrary fictitious time frame or timeline so that they can rule over that character. They don't have any say over the present. They only have a say over at the particulars frozen in time in their creation, which is the calendar, the calendar timeline, the public, or the public record.
So they can use the detail, the particular, for retail.
Yeah, so they can use the detail for retail. They're reselling you something that's already happened. They're reselling you that.
All over and over and over again. I mean, it's so gross, but it...
But I don't buy it. I don't buy it, Linda. Because knowing that I'm fully present, wholly present, from the beginning, all present and accounted for. I don't leave any trace of me back there. Well, they're saying I did. Well, yeah, but that goes against nature. That goes against reality. If I began as a single-cell zygote and I end as a man outside the womb 90 years later, it's all one life. So I don't leave anything behind. I don't leave any piece of me behind, even though they say I do. So if I lose hair and go bald over those years, if I get in a farm accident and lose a finger or a limb, or all those things, if a piece of me gets left behind at any moment, it's still part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's still part
mm-hmm.
of the whole. As long as mm-hmm. I know it, as long as I recognize all of my existence, I don't leave anything behind, and this is the most important part. When somebody talks about sovereignty, sovereignty is the ability, it's having total ownership, control over the kingdom. And my kingdom starts with a single cell zygote. That's my kingdom. My kingdom. And that zygote, Deuces, its offspring, the zygote's offspring, through the stem and then the fruit is the umbilical cord and the baby. But it's just evolutionary due process, and then I come out of mom, and then I go onto the land, onto the dry land, and breathe the air outside of mom, and I keep going. But it's all one. They can't subdivide any point of my existence because it's still all part of the same godly estate, the same kingdom. And if I'm the sovereign over all of that kingdom from fertilization to this moment, I'm the sovereign over all of that kingdom from fertilization to this moment. If I allow the birthday to come into play, then a piece of me is left behind. And if all I understand is this moment and go, well, I'm the sovereign. Nah, not if you're claiming a birthday, not if you're willingly volunteering a piece of you to fall behind. There's a piece of you now that is is able to be governed by some other organization, some other person. If you abandoned that property, if you abandoned the time in the womb to somebody else, to something else, to some other organization, to some other person, then you may think you're governing yourself today. You may think you're self-determining today, but if a piece of you was abandoned, was left behind, then that piece can be governed by someone else when they find it. And that's the problem, is that it's the piece left behind, or the piece that we allow to fall onto the Gregorian calendar created by Pope Gregory. It's the piece of us that we allow to become the Christian that falls subject to Christianity and the ruler of Christianity, all of Christianity. And we also know that Christianity is what? It's the official religion of Rome. So again, the birth certificated character on the Gregorian calendar is subject to Rome through Christianity. It's the Christian calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that simple. A detail. It's mm-hmm. a detail.
Mm-hmm. Go to retail in etymology.
All right, lady, I'm going to retail. Changing the D to R. Retail. Retail sounds like record to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To put the tail back on, to pin the tail on the donkey, is to retail. Who's the donkey? Apparently we are. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, donkey. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny that pin the tail on a donkey was a child's birthday game?
Game, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. You're at retail.
So the top of it says sell in small quantities or parcels. And then it's from the old French retailer, cut back, cut off, tear, clip, reduce, circumcise.
No way.
R-E, Ben. Yeah. Tailor to trim or cut. And it's also sometimes also to deal out information, etc., in small quantities. Hand down by report. Recount. Tell over again.
So let's get this straight. Retail comes from detail, which is where the devil lives.
Right.
But retail in etymology from the 15th century is to sell in small quantities or parcels. Does that sound like time? If they take each moment in time on a Gregorian calendar, is each moment a small quantity?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the whole, but it's not the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
part of the whole is the detail. The detail is now up for retail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the word as we know it today, to retail something is to do what? Is to sell it. That's selling your soul right there. You're
mm-hmm.
selling your soul by working with or claiming the detail of the birth certificated Christian. You're selling your soul. Mm-hmm. People don't realize. I have a sneaking suspicion that Christianity is the selling of the soul. I know this sounds horrible, but I don't see any other way. I mean, if you're abandoning yourself, if you're abandoning everything to Christianity, it sounds like exactly what it is. It's a detail that you're mm-hmm. falling for.
Well, and look, it's
no offense.
Hand down
no
by
offense.
Report. Yeah, hand down by report. Isn't that the birth certificate? And then recount, tell over and over again. So once
that's
you've
the,
agreed
that's the
to...
annual. That's the annual.
Mm-hmm.
Every 365 days, you tell the same story over and over. Happy birthday,
right.
happy birthday,
right.
happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But look at it says. To retail is to cut back, cut off, pare, clip, reduce, circumcise. Well, circumcise, we know what that could be. But to cut off, mm-hmm. isn't that the clamping and cutting of the umbilical cord? To cut back or to trim, to reduce. Can you reduce any part of your whole life without destroying the whole?
No.
No, okay, so let's just do something here. Think of your entire life, Linda, from fertilization to this moment. And think of the moment in fifth grade. where you were sitting in your class and you're getting your class picture. I use it all the time. Now, I want you to just think about this. It's a solid timeline from fertilization to this moment. And that moment where they took the picture of you with your classmates in fifth grade, I want you to think of it as a slide. And I want you to pull the slide out of the continuum. You pull that slide, that photo out of the continuum, that moment out of the continuum. Now you have a space where the continuum has been cut. That's a terminal point. It's also what they would call what? They would call it if you're in the courtroom and they would call it an obstruction of justice. Yeah. Let me do this. I want to be really clear. If you pull that moment in time off of that timeline, so where there's a gap where one moment it no longer attaches to the next moment because you pull it out. That one moment in time. Now there's a gap between the two points. I called it an obstruction of justice at that point because something stopped your forward movement. Think about it. If there's an obstruction, if there's no way to cross that gap, to fill that hole that you created by pulling that moment in time out, pulling that moment out, now there's a hole, there's a gap that you can't traverse, you can't get across. You need somebody to help you cross that point, to go across those two points, to make it continuous again. Because without continuity, you can't be here now. If there's a gap there, Linda, you're not here now. Now, I called it an obstruction of justice. What all I have to do is go to Webster's. I'm going to go to the word equity, the definition of equity, right at number one. I already know what it says. It says justice according to natural law. Well, natural law begins at fertilization and it ends with your last breath. What happens if somebody takes a moment in time out of that unbroken continuity? They've obstructed your forward progress, and it's an obstruction of justice. Because natural law says it's an unbroken timeline.
Right.
That's the obstruction of justice right there. When somebody forces you to claim a birthday, that's an obstruction of justice.
Wow.
It's also undue influence. I mean, what happens is it's all the things that happen because of the birthday is the undue influence. You're now subjecting yourself to what? To the rules that apply to that that character. But it is an obstruction of justice when they take one moment in their timeline, when they pull it out of their timeline, according to natural law, that would be an obstruction of justice. But according to their historical record, they're helping you cross or traverse that space. They're saying you need the administrative process to cross over that empty space that they pulled out of time. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So you need their help.
They created the problem by the cut, and now they're offering the solution.
Right, or any moment in time. I always use the cutting of the umbilical cord because it's so obvious that they leave all this back there so they can establish a deposit, you know, the certificate of deposit, the indulgence for the Roman Catholic Church. That indulgence is what they're using as support to support their paperwork. But all I'm saying is that it's an obstruction of justice. Any moment in time that disturbs or stops the continuity of your life from fertilization to last breath, that's an obstruction of justice. According to equity. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go back to retail. Go back to retail at etymology. I'm gonna go back to retail verb because that's where we started. Sell in small quantities. Sell in small quantities or what's that word?
Parcels.
Parcel, P-A-R-C-E-L. I'm going to go to parcel at Webster's.
Okay.
I want to feel the smile on your face when you see this.
Wow.
Now, there are two things in number one there, and let me explain them both. Number one says a tract or plot of land, right? So that's a parcel, a tract or plot of land. I'm going to jump to number 2A real quick, only because it says a wrapped bundle. There's the bundle of rights that leads to the social contract. A wrapped bundle, that's the placenta. And it
With a
says a
bundle of
package.
joy.
Yeah, bundle of joy. People confuse the bundle of joy with the baby, don't they?
Right, exactly.
It says a wrapped bundle or package. Now, we know that at Brown versus Maryland that the original package is the whole. That's everything. That's all of it, everything. But look what 2B says. A unit of what?
Saleable merchandise.
There's your retail right there. But I'm gonna go back up to by the way, parcel's amazing, and there's so many different definitions that are fun to deal with. But number one says a tract or plot of land. Let me deal with plot of land first. That's the accretion. The plot of land is where you were first impressed by your mother or into your mother, where you're literally fucked. FUCK means to what? To occupy or to implant. So when you plant into the uterine wall, you're planting into a plot of land, a plot of ground. When that material comes out as afterbirth, the placenta evidences you, a piece of you, still implanted into the plot of land, which is the wrapped bundle, by the way. So you got a plot of land. That's the motherland. That's the piece of mom. That's the maternal part of the placenta. That's the accretion. That's the plot of land. But what's a tract? Well, I'm gonna now go to tract at Webster's. A tract. Look at number three. There's all of these apply, but I just want to go to number three because that's what we're talking about.
Right.
What does it
Lapse of
say?
time.
An extent.
Extent or lapse of time.
A lapse of time is but an extent from fertilization to last breath is an extent. So a tract is actually my lifetime.
Well.
It's my lifetime from fertilization to last breath is my tract. It's my direction. It's my course. If I get bumped off course, or if there is a recourse, remember, without recourse is me staying on track. But with recourse, I could be bumped to another timeline. And that's the birthday. The Gregorian calendar is a separate line, a parallel line. It's not,
Well,
I mean, my extent is unbroken, but if I get altered, if in some way I become altered, I could end up going down the wrong path, down the wrong tract. But then,
So it says extent or lapse of time. So if you take that fifth grade picture slide out, that's a lapse of time. Then that's when they come in and say, "Here, let me put that back in for you."
it is. It's a lapse of time. That moment now is not part of the continuity, the continuation of your life. So there's a lapse. There's something missing from your timeline. And that's what they're addressing. They're addressing this lapse of time. It's the missing time that they always talk about in the science sci-fi movies where the aliens pick you up and you get probed. There's
Well,
missing
and it
time,
says
Kurt.
here,
I was missing for 10 minutes. I was missing for, well, you were probably probed.
Well, and it's
Go
either
ahead.
or. It's either you're either ex you either have the whole extent or you accept the birthday or the lapse of time, and then you're on a different timeline. It
That's
says it right there
why.
in that definition. It's either or, like you say all the time. It's not. Can't it's either or.
It's either or, and the truth is all or nothing, all or nothing. You can't, there,
right.
Something cannot be true that doesn't include all. I mean, I think this is where people don't understand that the forgetting or the abandonment of the time in the womb becomes a lie by omission. You're omitting the first 280 days of your life. So you're the liar. You become the liar. You're also insane because you can't be here now if you weren't there at the beginning. But the word extent at Webster says the range over which something extends. My life extends. I'd say life because my biological life extends from fertilization to last breath. That's an extent.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull a piece out, that's a lapse of time. There's something missing now that needs to be addressed, and that's what they're doing in the courtroom. They're addressing the lapse in time. The birthday becomes a moment where they create a space. They pull out that moment, September 19th, 1960, 3:50 a.m. They pull it out now, and they pull it. They put it in their file. They put it. They call it a public record, and that's the diversion. That's where I get diverted. That's where I get bumped to a new timeline. And so now, I'm no longer in reality. I'm in the once upon a time fictitious Gregorian calendar timeline, which is Christianity. And now Christianity subjects me from the year one to the year 2024. It subjects me to Rome. What happened to the Christians in Rome? Release the lions.
They got fed to the lions.
They got fed to the lions. And they were, the birth certificated person is fed to the lions. By the way, I think, isn't the lions also a metaphor? I'm going to go to lion. Definition.
Well, I know the lion, you know, like Richard the Lionhearted, it was used in heraldry a lot.
I'm going to go to, yeah, because it's always funny when the Christians are fed to the lions. What does that mean? Well, it could look at number three, the Lions Club. It says a member of a major national or international service club. You know, feed them to the lions. Feed the Christians to the lions. I'm going to see if I can find. I'm going to go to etymology. I don't want to lose retail yet, so I'm going to open another etymology. See, I love these conversations because. This is fun. We're discovering things.
Mm-hmm.
There, see, look at that. At etymology, it does say, look at that. It does say that. It says lion, also hero, but constellation Leo, the Latin word borrowed from Germanic. Down at the last paragraph, it says paired alliteratively with lamb. So lamb and lion are, they call it alliterative. Probably what? They balance each other. Well, hell, even in the spring, they say in like a lion, out like a lamb. Or
yeah.
But look what it says here.
Go ahead.
Tyrannical leader, greedy devourer.
Mm-hmm.
Lionhearted is from 1708. Lionhearted is from 1708. Lion's share. This is interesting here. Lion's share is the greatest portion. So if you can picture a lion out in the Serengeti, you know, catching something and eating what he wants to eat before he gives up the rest of the carcass to the other pride, the rest of the pride. The lion's share, the one that caught it, the one that killed it, gets to eat until it's full. That's the lion's share. The lion's share is, I'll eat what I want and you guys can have the rest. Well, look what it says. It says it's the greatest portion. The lion's share is the greatest portion. That's now I'm thinking between what is democracy? It's the majority. And a majority is greater than the minority. So the greatest portion of man would be, you know, the majority. And then there would be a minority, those that all most believe one thing over 50%, and then those that suffer that belief is under 50%. Well, the court of public opinion is the same thing. So whatever the court of public opinion, if they can sway, if the narrative can, the narrative is the court of public opinion, put it that way. It's trying to get people to believe something so that they will go in a certain direction. If people believe this, and it becomes the court of public opinion, that's the lion's share. But somebody's going to suffer. Democracy is the same way. It's what we joke about, two wolves and a sheep, you know, voting on what's for lunch. Well, that's where we're at today. We now have a top-heavy welfare state mentality, or I don't know how to... But we have a place now where the majority is not awake. The majority is not awake. And so the narrative, the Delta Wave narrative, the infancy that is being promoted, infancy, Delta Wave mindset, Delta. Delta Wave mindset is infancy. So what they're doing is they're promoting to the infant. They're promoting to our libido. They're promoting to our animal side. That's and the animal side is the dog off the leash. The animal side is the part of us that is not governed by our conscious. Think about that. So if we follow the animal instincts, if we follow all of that, we're going to become a world that is going to be basically the jungle again. Now, believe me, I'm not a religious guy, but my animal body has the same instincts that an animal would have, you know? I still want all those things that the animals want. I still want that. But my conscious is developed to the point where I hold back from acting on it. That's my dog, my beast on a leash. My animal's on a leash because my body is the animal and my consciousness is my ability to govern that beast. What happens when they clamp and cut the cord and they separate that piece of you, a piece of you off, and they say, well, this is that, and then you have this other piece of you that is they separate your consciousness from your beast, from your animal, from your dog. From the savage. And they say, only when those two come back together will we have peace. But until they come back together, there will be no peace. Well, guess what? Clamping and cutting the cord officially separates what they call church and state, but I call it self-governance and your animal have been separated. And until you pull yourself together, until you know all present and accounted for from fertilization last breath, and you become responsible, wholly responsible for your existence, there will be no peace in your life or anybody else's.
Does that make sense? The Lions,
Go ahead.
When the Lions Club was created?
When?
1917.
Oh, come on. The Lions Club was created in 1917?
In response to social problems created by World War I and rapid industrialization.
Wow.
A Chicago businessman named Melvin Jones.
And where is the Bar Association located? Where did
in
it begin?
Chicago.
In Chicago.
And then it went international in 1920.
Wow. The same year as or just before Chapter 12, 67th Congress, the same year roughly as the Sheppard-Towner Act, where the mother and child were identified separately. But what else? What's the biggie? The Trading with the Enemies Act?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to go to Trading with the Enemies Act. I believe that was 1917 as well, wasn't it? Trading. Aren't we back to retail? You're it's a trade organization, aren't you? That's the retail, right?
Yeah.
The selling. There it is. Trading with the Enemies Act. I mean, look at this. How did we get here? How did we get to 1970? The Lions clubs, right?
Yeah, detail. Well, we started with, yeah.
So look at that. The details where the devil lives led us to the Trading with the Enemies Act. Look what this is. 1917, Lions Club, Lion's Share, release the lions. To do what? To consume the Christians that are born to the Gregorian calendar, since 1582. Look what it says. The Trading with the Enemies Act is a generic name for a class of legislation generally passed during or approaching a war that prohibit not just mercantile activities with foreign nationals, but also acts that might assist the enemy. While originally limited to warfare, in the 20th century, these acts were applied to cases of national emergency as well. Wow, this is taking us right back. National emergency as well. For example, in 1940, before the United States entry into World War II, the president imposed broad prohibitions on the transfer of property in which Norway or Denmark or any citizen or national of those countries or any other person aiding those countries had any interest, with the exception of transfers which were licensed under regulations of the Department of Treasury. Let me explain this.
Are you in Wiki? Where did you
I'm
go?
at Wiki for Trading with the Enemies Act. Look
Okay.
what
Yeah.
it's transfer of property. First of all, it says, or any other person aiding those countries. It doesn't matter what country. They're using those Norway and Denmark because they seem kind of benign. But it says, had any interest. Any interest. So if the foetal maternal placenta born to the Gregorian calendar, which is Rome, the Roman character, it says, I mean, if I leave a piece of my biology in that character, born to that calendar, the foetal maternal placenta, if I leave a piece of me attached to that character, and that character is an overseas adversary, whoever that is, Italy. Remember, Italy was, part of the problem in World War II, Italy. And Rome was part of Italy, was it not? But look what it says here. Had any interest. If I leave a piece of me in the deposit of the foetal maternal placenta, if I leave that, and it gives rise to a detail, a retail, a detail, a retail, that's mercantilism. That's mercantile. So if I have an interest in that character, and it's through the birth certificate of Gregorian calendar, I'm participating. I am now subject to the Trading with the Enemies Act of 1917. I'm subject to it because I'm participating in some aspect of that. Now, I know that the birth certificated person is the Christianity. But I also know that since 1933 and FDR, and this is where I wanted to go today, which is funny because it's leading us right back to there. When FDR, on March 4th, 1933, at his first inaugural address, said, "Today is a day of national consecration," or "This is a day of national consecration." National consecration. Consecration is to make holy. He created a holy nation in 1933 just by speaking the words into existence. What's really funny is that if you go to the PDF of his speech, that line isn't in there. If you go to the PDF of the actual speech, the line of consecration is not in his speech. They don't have it in his speech. He put that in. And by the way, I'm gonna on the notes for this call, I will put the C-SPAN actual footage of him speaking it, and then I'll put the PDF in it, and you'll see that he speaks these words. He creates a holy nation in 1940 or 1933, and it's a Christian nation, a nation, one nation under God. But wait a minute here, one nation under God. So all of Christianity, or at least the American people, are now, or those that buy into, or adopt the birth certificated character, that's Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since Christianity is the official religion of Rome, they subject themselves to Rome. Well, the United States looks at this and says, hey, look at that. What was once a free people have chosen Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Catholicism.
Yep.
And now they're subject to the Trading with the Enemies Act.
Yeah.
Because that character, the Christian character, is doing what? Is participating in the ecumenical mm-hmm. economy, the ecumenism, the Christian economy, rather than the natural economy, or the United States. They're undermining the United States. By the way, remember, I kind of believe that since the Americas, North, Central, and South Americas, were claimed by Roman Catholicism in 1493, Intra Soterra, then Americas are all Roman Catholic. The United States was what? Protestant. So now you've got the Roman Catholics at war with the Protestants. The United States being mm-hmm. Protestant, the Americas being Roman Catholic, and now you have what? A war
mm-hmm.
between the United States and the Americas.
Right.
And there's your Trading with the Enemies Act. The United States is now looking at all the people that are claiming the birth certificated Roman Catholic character mm-hmm. as the enemy to mm-hmm. undermine the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to FDR because it kind of led us here, didn't it? I mean, first of mm-hmm. all, let's do one last thing. I'm going back to retail. Because remember, this whole thing, Trading with the Enemies Act, is about retail. It's about selling your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Or the selling. So look at, if I'm self-governing, if my kingdom is from fertilization and last breath, it's one kingdom, and I'm the sovereign over that kingdom, then all of that biology from zygote to this moment is one kingdom, one contiguous kingdom. Then if you take any piece of it out, that would be an obstruction of justice. What's mm-hmm. really weird is that the Department of Justice is in the federal government. Federal government. So they're trying to protect the people. They're trying to protect those that have equity from fertilization last breath. The federal government is trying to keep those people intact. Because the birthday and birth certificated character is destroying those people.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the birthday or the Roman Catholic Church is communal. It's communism. So by claiming the birth certificated fetal maternal character, you're participating in communism, which is undermining the United States' capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Undermining. There's your Trading with the Enemy right there. Everything you do for yourself isn't for yourself anymore. It's for Rome. By earning everything through the birth certificated person, you're putting all your property back into Christianity or into Rome. By the way, one last thing about this before I go to the FDR speech. People don't get this. If I claim to be a Christian, Linda, and the birthday itself is a Gregorian calendar Christian, beginning at the year 1 to the year 2024 now, that Christian is what? He's claiming or professing or admitting or confessing to Christianity. And as a Christian, You are what? A mendicant. A spiritual mendicant. I'm going to go to the word mendicant at Webster's. Mendicant. M-E-N-D-I-C-A-N-T. Mendicant. So if I'm a Christian, I'm a mendicant. I'm going to just go to number two first. It says a member of a religious order. A member of a religious order combining monastic life and outside religious activity, and originally owning neither personal nor community property. Owning neither personal nor community property. Adjective says practicing beggary, engaged in begging. Number two says of, relating to, or belonging to, or constituting a religious order, combining monastic life and outside religious activity, and originally owning neither personal nor community property. Owning no property, Linda.
Yeah.
That's why the birth certificated person's property is held in trust. They call it the In God We Trust. They took all the money out because nobody owns anything. If you're a practicing Christian, which is the birth certificated person according to the Gregorian calendar, if you're a practicing Christian, you own no property. All Christians' property are held in trust to be administrated over by some group of people, Fishers of Men, the Bar Association, because they've taken a vow of poverty. Christians have taken a vow of poverty. They're beggars. Oh, Kurt, I live in a million-dollar house and drive a Ferrari. No, you don't. You don't own anything. Because that's all paper. All of that property is held in trust for everyone. So if you think you own anything and you're claiming the birth certificated Christianity, you don't own anything. It can be taken from you the moment you're disavowed, the moment you're burned.
Yep.
Now they can take it anytime they want.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they do.
But, I mean, this is actually so simplistic. I've simplified this to the point where that the moment you claim the birthday, there's one other thing I have to do then. The moment you claim to be a Christian, not only do you become a beggar owning no property with all your property going into the In God We Trust, there's another aspect to this. Go to C-I-V-I-L, civil death, D-E-A-T-H, at Webster's.
Okay.
Civil death.
Okay. Wow.
The status of a living person equivalent in its legal consequences to natural death. Deprivation of civil rights. Go to etymology, civil death. See what it says. Read that.
Wait a second. So I just went to civil. Did it go to civil death for you?
That's where. Yeah, because if you know what civil means, then once you understand civil, you can say what then civil death is lack of civility. What does it say?
Late 14th century, relating to civil law or life. Pertaining to the internal affairs of a state. From the Old French, civil, relating to civil law, and directly, 13th century, and directly from civilis, relating to a society or pertaining to public life. Relating to civil order benefiting a citizen. Hence, by extension, popular, affable, courteous. The alternative adjectival derivative of civis is townsman.
Townsman.
Mm-hmm.
But look, it goes on to say, meaning not barbarous, mm-hmm. civilized. It's from 1550s. It says specifically relating to the Commonwealth as secularly organized as opposed to military or ecclesiastical by the 1600s, meaning relating to citizen in his relation to the Commonwealth or to fellow citizens. Next it says the sense of polite was in classical Latin, but English did not pick up on the nuance of the word until late 16th century. It has tended to descend in meaning to meeting minimum standards of courtesy. Minimum standards of courtesy. Courteous is thus more commonly said of superiors, civil of inferiors, since it implies or suggests possibility of incivility or rudeness. Here's what I'm getting at. When they clamp and cut the cord, they create a civil character and a heathen. The Christian is considered civil. The birth certificated person is considered civil. The baby that goes home with mom and dad is the indigenous person, the heathen, the non-Christian. So when you separate those, when the cut separates those two positions, the civil rights and civility is with the birth certificated person, and the man on the land, the savage, the indigenous person, is not civil. He's barbarous. He's a savage. Mm-hmm. He's an animal. Mm-hmm. When you put the civil with the animal, that's what I was talking about earlier. I keep my animal under control with my ability to self-govern. So I have a form of civility already in me. I understand what it's like to be civil when I'm around other people. I don't need a legal civility to do it. They created a legal civility through the cut, through the birth certificated person. That's a legal civility. Now, what happens when you're disconnected? What happens when I'm a man on the land? Then you've been disconnected from that civility. You become the indigenous person on the land. And that's the loss of civil rights. That's called civil death. And again, it seems like civil is positive, and it is when you understand what it is. But they created civil when I am already, by definition, civil. I don't need a piece of paper that evidences my civility. I don't need to be called a Christian to evidence my civility. You know what I mean? It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I hate to say it, but because it sounds ridiculous for somebody to self say it, but I'm more civil than almost everybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with nothing but animals on a regular basis. You know, not within the society of the sojourner. I mean, people are finally mm-hmm. getting it. But most people out there are animals. They really are animals. They're off their own leash. They're not self-governing. They need somebody to hold them accountable because they won't hold themselves accountable. I hold myself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So I am naturally civil. Think about that. Equity from fertilization to last breath is nature's justice. Natural justice. Natural law. I believe, and this is where I don't use this word often, but I believe man includes not just the animal, biological animal, but also the consciousness, which some people would call Christ consciousness, civility.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's normal. I think that's supposed to be normal, but when you look at what's going on in the world, what they're trying to do is divide us to conquer us. They're trying to make us all animals. They're trying to get us to act as animals.
Yeah, to be the split.
to be the split, the animal separate from self-governance. So then they have to govern. They have to step in and save us from our animal selves.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do what I want to do. Well, that's fine as long as you don't trespass or harm somebody else by doing it. See, I get that. Mm-hmm. That's in me. I don't need a piece mm-hmm. of paper to say that I'm civil. But civil death is the problem. To be civilly mm-hmm. dead means you don't have civility and you're going to be treated as an animal. That's civil death. So So when people say, "Well, they think we're all dead, Kurt," they're no, they're not. They're saying you're civilly dead. They're saying you're an animal, and you're going to get treated as an animal. You will suffer if you act as an animal. You're going to suffer. But they created the very environment for everybody to suffer. By claiming the birth certificate, you're also evidencing the need for civil rights. That's what they're saying. That with the birth certificate, Gregorian calendar, Roman Catholic person, they're saying you need that person, you need to be clothed in that person to evidence civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within the laws of nature, no, at fertilization, natural law begins at fertilization and ends with my last breath. So I don't need anything provided by these people and their social contract. That's what this is all about. The civility, the idea of the civil rights, the thing that as if somebody can give you something, the creation of something to give you that evidences you're a willing participant. That's the civil rights. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, the longer I'm around this stuff, you know, I'm actually kind of moving their direction, just so you know, because I'm disgusted with the way people treat the planet. I'm disgusted with looking at all the litter and looking at all the fools out there that believe in the nonsense, and then they become the court of public opinion, which is then the majority, which is then Leviathan, and then I suffer the fools because there's more fools than conscious supreme beings. That's what's happening.
Yeah. It says down at the bottom of civil death in Merriam-Webster's that it was first used in 1719, civil death.
Civil death. Wow. Civil death, a status of a living person equivalent in its legal consequences to natural death. So we're not dead. They don't look at us like we're dead. But we are civilly dead. And this is where the church comes in and says they're civilly dead until they accept Jesus. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because remember that the Gregorian calendar character is Jesus and Mary. Feto, maternal placenta is Jesus and Mary. So what they're saying is that you're not civil until you accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. It goes on to say specifically, deprivation of certain civil rights upon conviction for a serious crime. Hey, if you turn your back on your godly origin, if you turn your back on your kingdom, if you walk away from your responsibilities to your kingdom, they're saying you're civilly dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't. Now you lose all of the rights that are set aside for that person. But they're saying that civil is Jesus. That's what the birth certificate is saying. That if you accept Jesus, then you have civil rights. If you don't accept Jesus, you're civilly dead. That's what this is all about. So when you go into their lower courts or their courts and you pray or you plea, you're basically saying, listen, I don't know the truth, and I'm subjecting myself to the will of another. And it isn't God, because God's will is actually, you know it, you hear it, you feel it, you know the truth. It's in your heart. It's always in your heart. We all know the truth, but what we do is we decide away from it. Every decision we make, think about how easy. You accept truth, that means no decision is necessary. Linda, when you accept truth, you're not deciding. You're not deciding. From fertilization to last breath doesn't need your permission. It needs you to accept it, because that's the truth of your existence. When you choose a birthday, you're choosing away from truth, and now you're going to suffer. All choice is away from truth. And I can say that absolutely positively. All choice is away from truth, because you don't choose truth. It already is. All you can do is accept it. So think about that. All choice is away from truth. Oh, I choose truth. No, you don't. You accept truth. You don't get to choose truth. Either you do or you don't. And since truth is all or nothing, if you don't choose truth, you're going to suffer the details of that lack.
Yep.
Where the devil lives. So again, if you accept truth from fertilization, last breath, all present and accounted for, you're going to have natural equity. If you don't accept truth and you choose a birthday, now you're moving away from truth. You will suffer the consequences of that non-truth. Now, in their world, since the separation of church and state, they're saying that if you don't accept Jesus, then you're outside the truth. Now, I know that Jesus and the amnion, my own biology, are one and the same thing. Jesus knows that too, because at Luke 5:31, in his own words, in Jesus' own words, he says, they that are whole, W-H-O-L-E,
need not a physician.
So even in Jesus' own words, he's saying, listen, you don't even need me, the physician. You don't need me, Jesus, the healer, if you're already one with me. Yamnion.
Right.
If you're whole, you don't need the what? The man-made?
The man-made details.
You don't need the filler. You don't need the prosthetic, the birth certificated prosthetic to fill the hole or to replace the limb we cut off of you with our Jesus. See, the limb they cut off of me, the extra embryonic material, includes the amnion, which is the Lamb of God. But if I allow the cut and they give me a piece of paper that evidences their Jesus, now I have to accept Jesus, which is a different word for reality. Jesus is within a narrative, the capital G Genesis narrative, which is part of the Judeo-Christian scriptures. But in nature, there is no Judeo-Christian narrative. That narrative is man-made.
Yeah, well, there's not any.
I'm not railing against Jesus. What's that?
Well, there is no Judeo-Christian in reality. In the squirrel doesn't need a Judeo-Christian to get his nuts and put them away.
I don't see squirrels putting other squirrels up on an altar and burning them as a sacrificial squirrel. they don't sacrifice each other or themselves in nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, but I got to be careful here, Linda, because I think that man, the biology, and man's conscious, heaven and earth together, is man.
Mm-hmm.
If you separate heaven and earth, if you separate consciousness from the body, now you have an animal off his leash because he's not self-directed. He's not self-governing. He needs to be handled differently because he's out there doing what animals do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
that's how I look at this. I think man, say that again.
Well, I think it's unfair to the animal to put them in the category of uncivilized men. I mean, men and individuals, men, women, off a leash. I think there's more civility
you
the
can't,
animal world.
Well, I don't. Yeah, but civility is a separate term. Animals cannot be civil or civilized. I'm getting at is an animal's already whole. A squirrel acting as a squirrel is already a squirrel. It's already whole.
Yes.
But
that's
with the birthday, with the birth certificate, what they're saying is we have this animal, but he needs, until he becomes conscious, he's just an animal.
Yeah.
And we're going to call consciousness Jesus. That's what they've created. They're saying you're not conscious until you recognize Jesus. That's what they've done. That's what Rome has done. That's what the birthday does.
Yeah.
But then, of course, by using the term Jesus, you're subjected to Roman Catholicism, the Godfather, the Pope, whatever.
Yep.
If you choose that path, go ahead.
Yep. No, go ahead. If you choose that path.
No, what were you going to say?
Well, I just went back to civil, and I clicked on city in etymology, the hyperlink. And what hit me was its root is to lie, and they're using it as the term like to lie in bed or that, but it also is to not tell the truth, to lie.
That's etymology?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what's really weird is I just learned something about the word city, C-I-T-Y,
yeah,
recently, out of Rousseau's The Social Contract. And this is from, you know, Rousseau was writing in, I mean, this particular tome, I think, was in the 1750s, maybe, 1750s-ish, The Social Contract. I don't really know when it was written. I should look it up. But city, I mean, if you think of the city, this is really weird, and I just learned this even yesterday or the day before, but the city exists only through its citizens. So a citizen, if I'm a citizen and you're a citizen and your sister's a citizen and Debbie's a citizen, the citizens, according to Rousseau, make up the city. Let me read this. This is right out of The Social Contract, page 61 from the Penguin Classics version. It says, let's see, there it is. Each one of us puts into the community his person and all his powers under the supreme direction of the general will. And as a body, we incorporate every member as an indivisible part of the whole. Immediately, in place of the individual person of each contracting party, this act of association creates an artificial and corporate body composed of as many members as there are voters in the assembly. And by this same act, that body acquires its unity, its common ego, its life, and its will. The public person, thus formed by the union of all other persons, was once called the city. The city is not made up of brick and mortar. It's not made up of structures that we think of. There's no road. There's no substance. It's the legal person. It's the corporate person. It's the citizen. So it's the citizens that make up the city. Those are all corporate franchises within the city itself. There's no substance to the city. There's only citizens. So the city's made up of citizens. And so think about that. If the city is made up of citizens, what about the biology? Where does that go? See, the citizen would be the character that you wear in order to get into the city. In order for you to even be allowed into the city, you have to be a citizen, because the citizen is the city. So when you want to go into the city, if you want to be treated with the respect and have all of your power intact, you put the clothing of the citizen on, and you clothe yourself in a capacity of the citizen while you're in the city. What about the folks that are in the, what about the people that are roaming around in that location who are not citizens? They don't have
status. Yeah, they need.
They don't have the same status. They're beneath. So this, it's only the citizens that have all of that, what? That have the rights of the citizen, that have the rights and privileges of the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I think the city is actually called the City of God. And who was it? Hippo that wrote the City of God? And I think that that's considered what they would call heaven. And the only people into the city of God would be the citizens. So again, probably the best movie I know of to watch that shows the difference between the citizen that make up the city and those that are not in the capacity with the privileges and immunities of the citizen is the movie Elysium. Elysium has Matt Damon, and the world down below, the Catholic world, is in poverty. But just across a little space up there in the five-pointed star is the city. And that's where all the privileged people, the citizens, exist. And when the difference between the citizens and the rest is unbelievable. You're talking the difference between wealth and poverty.
Right.
And so it's the citizen up there in the city that has all the wealth and controls everything, has the privileges and immunities. And I believe that that evidences consciousness. Those that are wholly conscious and understand that it realistically is kind of the law of the jungle, where it's those of us that know how to take advantage of those that are asleep, the Delta State infants, we live like the kings we're supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be. But they're willing to sacrifice their own existence because they're not awake to reality. They have subjected themselves to, you know, servitudes or slavery by ignorance or whatever. So to me, it's the whole, it's the equity from fertilization of last breath, natural law justice.
Mm-hmm.
Natural law justice from fertilization of last breath that gets you all of it. All of it. You become the mature king over your kingdom, rather than have a piece of you subjected to some regency, some guardianship forever, to be treated like an infant. All I'm saying is stop acting the infant, grow up, and be responsible. And realize that nobody owes you anything. The welfare state cannot exist in nature. So justice, according to natural law, think about that. Justice according to natural law is that I get everything I earn, and I don't get anything I don't earn. That's natural law.
Yeah.
Well, justice according to natural law says I get everything I earn, and I don't get anything I don't earn.
Right.
Well, how can people make claims upon things that they've never earned? How can there be people out there saying, Kurt, all you have to do is get to that treasury direct account for the infant, or treasury direct account for that birth certificated person, and you'll have millions, if not billions, of dollars of your own. And my first question is, what did I do to earn that?
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me there's all this money in an account, but I didn't earn any of that. It can't be mine. Just by such knowledge, it tells me that can't be mine. And if I'm able to get a house for free, if I'm able to get a car or a boat or a jet for free, somebody else is participating in its creation. I call that the blood pool. I call that the public pool. I somebody's now manipulating something in order to get something they didn't earn. And that's why we're at where we're at. The people that know how to manipulate, that are willing to manipulate, do manipulate. I would never do that. I only want what I create, what I earn. That's the only thing I can lay a legitimate claim upon. And if citizenship is the city, and I am, and that's their world, and if equity comes with the cut, or wholeness brings equity, I already have it. But I don't want anything that I didn't earn. I don't want anything for nothing. And that's the difference between me and most people. You know? By the way, private property is untaxable. So when you learn the truth and ownership, when you learn all of this, all of the nonsense, all the fictional nonsense goes away. But most people do truly want, just like that guy earlier in that Facebook where he said, just tell me, just tell me. He didn't want to learn anything. And then he did what? He belittled me. He called me a spammer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what children do.
Mm-hmm. You didn't give me what I want, so I'm going to call you names.
Well, I don't have a name. I mean, the moment of creation, what was my name? I didn't have one. So it doesn't really matter. So,
yeah. I didn't realize that St. Augustine was the Bishop of Hippo.
Oh, St. Augustine of Hippo, the one that wrote the City of God? Or?
Yeah, I just sent you a PDF of it. I just found a PDF of it, and it's in Volume 1. It says, by Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine.
It's funny, I bought that book years ago, City of God, and I didn't, when I bought it, I knew that it was important because something led me to it, but I hadn't read it. I have it. It's on the shelf. At some point, I will read it, but I haven't. I have not read it, but I've read enough of it, you know, that I'm probably right.
Yeah, I just didn't realize.
I'm probably right.
I didn't realize that he was the Bishop of Hippo.
Well, that's probably where, you know. Well, okay. Let's just keep moving.
Go ahead.
So was there anything else? Let me go back to retail real quick because I keep going back to it before we go on to FDR and the establishment of the nation under God, one nation under God. So let's go to retail again, which came from detail. And, of course, the devil's in the details. And, of course, retail comes from detail. And it says to sell in small quantities or parcels. Again, on the public record, the public record, which is considered the historical record. Somebody created this record. And so whoever created the record owns that story, his story.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since history, his story, since the past and the present are mutually exclusive, I don't enter his story until I'm actually dead because I'm always present, fully present. And if I'm fully present, all present, and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, I cannot participate or be found in his story until I'm past, until I'm dead. So what do they have us doing? They have us selling small quantities. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Retail says to sell in small quantities or parcels. What are we selling? We're selling moments of our time. Performances. We're selling them. So at show up in court at 10:30 on Thursday morning on May 5th, that's a performance, mm-hmm. and we're selling that performance. We're showing up and performing their character. As the actor wearing the clothing of their character, we're selling ourselves short. What do I mean by that? Well, if we're only selling that moment in time, but our entire life is from fertilization to last breath, we are doing what? We're selling small quantities of our life, our time.
Mm-hmm.
Even as employees, we're selling a piece of us, our soul. And, of course, our soul is our psyche, and our psyche is our mind. So if I believe I'm the birth certificated person for that moment in time, I have sold my soul for that moment in time. If I believe that it is April 23rd, 2024 at 10:42 a.m., if I believe that, I have sold myself to that timeline for that moment. That's a small quantity of my life. I have sold myself short, because to sell yourself short is anything short of all. The truth is all. The truth is your whole life. You can't sell any moment of that.
Nope.
And that's the problem. By the way, one last thing about the whole life. If there's ever a moment, if there's ever any time that you're going to be judged, it would be when you're dead.
Yeah.
That means that they can take all the bad and all the good that you've done in your life and put them on the scales, if that's what they do, and say, look, at over the lifetime, Linda started out bad but turned out good and everything turns out beautiful. Or she started out good but she turned bad. Well, it doesn't matter. What I'm getting at is it's the entirety of all of those acts that give weight to your existence, your entire existence. If you sell at any moment in time, the very next moment you could have changed completely. I could have been a pile of shit right there, and now I'm not, and I've changed completely. But if you don't go to the next moment, then all the good that I do after that is not part of the whole. It's not part of the weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and down at retail now, it says, as opposed to wholesale. Retail, early 15th century, sale of commodities in small quantities or parcels, which is what we've been talking about. But it says in parentheses, opposed to wholesale. But if you go to wholesale, click on it, it separates it out. You may have sale, the act of selling. But then it's whole, which is entire, whole, unhurt, uninjured, safe, healthy, sound, genuine, undamaged. And it also goes to health.
Before we move on, I'll have a little fun here, because it does say, a retail merchant. So obviously, they look at us as all merchants selling a piece of ourself, our souls. But it says, where was the word I'm looking for? Shred, scrap. There it is. So early 15th century, it says, piece cut off, shred, scrap, pairing. A pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Fetal maternal placenta is a pairing. But look at scrap.
So where are you
scrap.
At?
I'm at retail noun.
Retail noun. Okay, scrap. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow the cut material, the umbilical cord and extra-embryonic, to stay back there, forgotten or abandoned, and it becomes human waste or scrap, a wreck,
mm-hmm.
the wreck of your boat.
Mm-hmm.
If you're allowing it to stay back there, on the back of my new book is the boat on the island. I mean, it looks like an abandoned vessel or a wrecked vessel on an island. If you allow it to become scrap, there's an old saying, one man's trash becomes another man's treasure.
That's right.
What happens if you're still using the biology from the beginning, Linda? Has anything been abandoned?
No.
No. And even if they cut a piece off of you, but you're still using the same biology that was created at fertilization. Does anybody have any claims upon your entirety?
No.
No. If you're governing all of your existence, if your mind recognizes your godly origin from fertilization all the way to your last breath, that's self-government. If you only mm-hmm. begin your existence at birthday, then you don't extend all the way back to creation. That's not self-government. Because you've abandoned a piece of you to be allowed to be governed by somebody else. This stuff is just biology. And nature begins at fertilization. It doesn't begin at birthday. That's how simple this is. Equity doesn't begin at birthday. You lose equity at birthday.
Right.
Because equity is a natural law. So it begins at fertilization. Natural law begins at fertilization.
Yep. Ain't no stress in my world.
Here's what's funny, though, is if you go past retailing, where it says the selling of goods in small quantities, down to peddle.
Oh, yeah. Saw that.
to retail to sell in small quantity. It says peddler. I'm going to see something. If I'm going to click on the hyperlink peddle, and this is where it gets pretty funny. Where is this? One who travels about selling small wares which he carries with him, a peddler. One who goes on foot. Ped, foot. But here's what's really weird is I'm going to see if it's here. I'm going to go, I have my Webster, no, I have my Black's Law here.
Okay. We go into pedal, or where are we going?
Hang on a second. Okay. I'm going to go to pedal in Black's Law. I think it's in here. I don't want to say the word yet. I'm going to see if pedal's in here. Peddler. Age 1019. An itinerant trader. Itinerant trader. A person who sells small wares, which he carries with him in traveling about from place to place, and whose activities generally require that he be licensed. Licensed. Okay. Generally. It says generally require that he be licensed. General, obviously, is the whole or the non-unique person. It says by the city or town within which he peddles. So look at that. The city or town. The city we know is made up of what?
Citizens.
And then it says town within which he settles, distinguished from trader who has goods for sale and sells them in a fixed place or business. So look at that. A trader sells from a fixed position, whereas a peddler is somebody who travels from place to place. Now, what's really weird is I'm going to go, I think it's still in here, in Black's Law. Let me go to, Drummer, D-R-U-M, Drummer, page 447. A drummer. A term applied to commercial agents who travel for wholesale merchants and supply the retail trade with goods or take orders for goods to be shipped to the retail dealer. Term most commonly refers to traveling salesmen.
Wow.
What's the Christmas song that you loved when you were little? Yeah, Little Drummer Boy.
The Little Drummer Boy. Wow.
Let me, I'm going to go to the lyrics on that real quick. Little Drummer Boy lyrics. Because that's for Christmas, right? Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, where was baby Jesus deposited? Where did he sleep?
In a manger.
And what's a manger?
It's where the animals
a feed trough and they for the mm-hmm. for the domesticated animals, and of course they threw the placentas into the feed trough, didn't they? Mm-hmm. If Jesus mm-hmm. is the amnion, then they threw the amnion and all the afterbirth into the feed trough known as manger. That's why Jesus mm-hmm. slept in the manger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, a newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum, our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king. It's funny because, and I talked about this before, but Jesus is king of the Jews.
Yeah.
Now, can a Jew, is a Jew born to the Christian calendar?
No.
No, he's born to the Anno Mundi calendar, the Jewish calendar. And the Jewish calendar goes from 0 to 1, where the Christian calendar goes from 1 to 2024. So 0 to 1 is where Jesus was born, and of course that's the time in the womb. That's the afterbirth material.
Wow.
But it's, I just found it funny that little drummer boy, what does they actually mean? What does that mean? It means that the, when you hear the drum, he's drumming up business.
Yeah, wow.
He's letting you know that there's going to be commerce. Now look at this. The last line of this says, shall I play for you? Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, on my drum. Because Mary, this is the last verse, Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum, Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time. The ox and lamb kept time. The ox and lamb kept time. Time.
Yeah, time.
That's enter. That's entering the Gregorian calendar. It keeps
so the
time.
Animal.
Is there time? Is there time in the womb, Linda?
No.
No. Anyway, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, there's no time for an ox and lamb either, but they just put the ox and lamb in time with that line.
Kept time.
The animal keeps. They're putting time.
But look at. Okay, I'm gonna. This is gonna sound funny, but the lamb is the amnion. It's also the amnion which is cut off and sacrificed, the sacrificial lamb. But ox. You go to Webster's at ox number two. It says an adult castrated male. A domestic ox, a castrated male, is the ox.
Wow.
Well, aren't all men, aren't all men legally castrated by claiming a birth certificate infancy?
Yep.
Yeah, there are no men.
There
you, men don't have any rights if they keep claiming infancy, because their rights are what? They're held in regent or by a regent or regency. Infants, birth certificated infants, don't ever come to majority, so they never control their own property. They never become part of, you know, they don't have legal capacity, which means they're what? They're civilly dead. And to be legally castrated is to remain the infant. So again, going back to... Go ahead.
Well, I just remembered circumcised was back in the definitions that we had earlier.
Right. But look at it. It says the ox and lamb kept time. That's the male and the child being on frozen on the timeline.
And separated.
They kept to keep something. They kept time. I'm going to go to the word keep at Webster's.
Okay.
To keep something is to do what?
To save it.
It's to preserve. It's number three says to preserve or maintain. So they're preserving or maintaining the historical record. By this deposit, by the deposit. And again, nature doesn't have this. I mean, I can't make this clear enough. The past and the present are mutually exclusive. Let me go, I'm going to go to mutual exclusivity. Exclusivity at, I'm going to go to Expedia. Mutually exclusive. And I'm going to, oh, I'm sorry, Investopedia. I like that. I love the way they define it. Mutually exclusive at Investopedia with examples. Now think about this. If I'm fully present from fertilization of this moment, present, and the past and the present are mutually exclusive, that means what? What does it say here? It says mutually exclusive is a statistical term describing two or more events that cannot happen simultaneously. So can I be in the past and the present at the same time?
No.
Can I claim a birthday and be present?
No.
First of all, that's an impossibility anyway, because it's in order for me to claim a birthday, I have to be cognizant. But as an infant, I am not cognizant. I don't have the ability to comprehend. So look at how weird that is. I'm claiming a birthday, but birthdays are for infants, and infants do not have the ability to be cognizant of the day itself, of the birth. But it says mutually exclusive is a statistical term describing two or more events that cannot happen simultaneously. I cannot be both a mature man at 64 and have a birthday. I can't be in the present and go back to the past. I can't be. Even if I am talking about something that happened earlier in my life, I can't go back there. I'm physically here now. So that's why when I talk about time travel, I can think back to the time I was sledding at Twin Sisters Hills, you know, back in 1969. I can think about it. I can remember how cold I was that day once I got wet. You know, I can remember being in the little shed that had this little heater that I was trying to warm up while my mom was, you know, before my mom came and got me. I can remember all that. But I can't actually go back there. It's physically impossible.
Right.
It says it is commonly used to describe a situation where the occurrence of one outcome supersedes the other. For example, war and peace cannot coexist at the same time. This makes them mutually exclusive. All right, I'm going to do something here. It says the example that they're using is that war and peace cannot coexist at the same time. Well, let me prove my entire theory here. Go to the definition of the word war at Webster's.
Yep.
At 2B, it says a struggle or competition between opposing forces or for a particular end.
Yep.
If I'm whole from fertilization to this moment, there is no particular end.
No.
If I'm still using the biology created at fertilization, there is no particular end, and if there's no particular end, there's no war. I'm in a state of peace from fertilization to last breath. But the moment I claim a birthday, which evidences a particular end, I'm at war. I can't be both at war and peace at the same time, and the birthday evidences war. I can't be peace at peace or be peaceably assembled and claim a birthday. Because it's mutually exclusive. War and peace are mutually exclusive, and birthdays and origins are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I can't have it both ways. I'm either here at peace or I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mutual exclusivity.
Okay. Go ahead.
All I'm going to do is I'm going to go. No, you know what? I think we're done with that. That's as far as I really want to go with that. What do you have? What do you got?
Oh, well, I was thinking we should go to where you were originally going. What?
Oh. Yes, let's do that. I'm getting out of all these windows. And I'm going to PDF of the first inaugural address. And let me see if I can find a good one. I like to actually look at the original document. So if there's a photograph of the document, I love it. Oh, look at this. Here's one that's transcribed directly from the audio. All right? Now, this is not the speech, but it's transcribed from the audio. It's not the speech. Understand that a transcription of people talking is not the same as the speech written for him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to send you this. There it is. Tell me when you get it.
Okay.
Hopefully it works. So this is I haven't sent it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. FDR, 1933. And here's you. And here's me. And here we go. I always send it to me, too, just to make sure I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I can see also if my link worked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just got it, so let me see if the link works for me.
Got it, yep.
Okay, it worked for me, so when you get it, it should work for you too.
Okay. There it is. I got it.
Now, we're not going to have time to go through this because it is, how many pages? 5 pages. I'd love to go through this line by line someday mm-hmm. again with my eyes, yeah. The eyes I have today. We should do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a transcription, remember. So I'm in the notes for this call, I will put the actual C-SPAN link where you can hear them and watch them say it. But this, look what it says here. I'll probably get through a couple of these pages. But what I want to do is I want you to see what I see based upon the cut, based upon the knowledge up to now. Because this March 4th address, he's introducing the holy ground, the holy nation. He's introducing it. And that same year, just a couple months later, he did what? He started issuing birth certificates, deeds mm-hmm. to the plot of ground, to the holy ground, deeds. I call them prosthetics because they cut a piece of you off, and then they let you adopt their character in place of it. So that's a prosthetic to me. It's like cutting off an arm and then having them give you a machined arm, you know what I mean, a machine part to put on in place of the arm they cut off. You know, they cut off an organ, an organization or an organ, a piece of you, and then they give you back an organization and say, oh, here's the birth certificated character that we cut off of you. Now, you know what? Mine only extended as far as my biology, but what you gave me back, but what you're forcing me to adopt is a piece of me and a piece of mom. That sounds like a bundle of rights versus just my rights. It sounds like a social contract rather than just natural equity, natural law equity. You see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me read this. And it says this: the authenticity is certified. It says the text version below transcribed directly from audio. So this is his words as he was speaking versus the written text or the written speech that you can find somewhere else, and you're going to see discrepancies between this, what he spoke, and what was written. More than likely, definitely, you see it in the first line. So look what it says here: President Hoover, Mr. Chief Justice, my friends. I'm joking. This is a day of national consecration. Period. That's the first line. And I am certain that on this day, my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. A decision. You know what the definition of to decide is?
To cut off.
To cut off. I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. The present. So here I am in the present. Do I need my infancy?
Do you need it?
Do I need my infancy today?
No.
In the present?
Mm-mm.
No. I needed it then. I needed everything it offered then. I needed, when I was in the womb, I needed everything the womb provided. But do I need it today?
Mm-mm. No.
So look what it says here. I address them with a candor and a decision, which the present situation of our people impels. The present situation for me is that I'm not an infant anymore. I shouldn't be treated like an infant. I need to be cut off from infancy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to be cut off from my origin. And that's what they did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But with the paper, they separated me from my womb, the time in the womb, which becomes a lie by omission. I'm now omitting my time in the womb, which is infancy. But by omitting the infancy, they create a hole. And that hole has to be filled by something. And they fill it with their prosthetic birth certificated character that they created, not God. They created it. So now they have a space holder character for the time in the womb that I require to get back to God. To go all the way back to my origin, I need to use their prosthetic character, their Jesus, to go all the way back to creation. Only through the Son can he get to the Father. No, I and my Father are one. I don't need the middleman. John 10:30, King James Version. I and my Father are one. But look what it says. This is a day of national consecration. And I am certain that on this day, my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. Impel. I'm going to look up impel. At Webster's. To impel. Impel, it says to urge or drive forward or on by or as if by the exertion of strong moral pressure. Strong moral pressure. Force. Number two says to impart motion, to propel. Look, if I'm back there acting as the infant, and they're saying, dude, get responsible, pull yourself together, act like a man. They're forcing me to become responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But they also cut me off from my origin. So now there's both the infant version of me and the present version of me. And they created the very problem that allows for such diversity, such confusion. If I celebrate the birthday, what am I celebrating? Infancy? Every 365 days, am I going back to infancy? And then they have to do what? They have to impel me or force me to go forward again. Come on, man, act like a man. And to impel is to urge or drive forward. The exertion of strong moral pressure. Next paragraph says, this is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. Nor need we shrink from honesty facing conditions in our country today. This great nation will endure. It has endured, will revive, and will prosper. Well, what are they talking about? All of a sudden, now the nation is capitalized, but in his first sentence, it says this is a day of national consecration. What nation is he talking about? Was there a nation even before this speech, Linda? Or was there a country?
There was a country.
They created a Christian Roman Catholic nation based upon the cut, based upon the decision. The decision. And now there's a problem. Anybody says, this is a preeminent, this is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, the whole truth. So he's describing the cut, he's describing all this stuff, and he says, we're going to talk about the whole truth here. But what does that mean? Can I be both an infant and a man?
No.
No. See, this is where the mutual exclusivity comes in, where people go, I can't be both the birth certificated infant and the 64-year-old man. The whole truth. The whole truth is, from I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, but that includes the evolutionary due process of nature. I naturally evolved into this. I don't need their due process. I don't need them to help me across any void or hole or missing time, because there isn't any. But they created it. They created missing time. They created the need for what? Assistance. It goes on to say, this great nation will endure as it has endured. Will revive and will prosper. Revive. Will revive. What is the hell is what's revival? What's revive?
Yeah, it means to bring back to life.
To return to consciousness or life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Return to consciousness. Doesn't that sound like what I was describing earlier, where my body's an animal, but my consciousness is the thing that governs this animal? When I become self-governing again, as opposed to the infant that requires what? Guardianship or regency? No. When I return to consciousness, I'm self-governing. He said it right there. Will revive and will prosper at some point, yeah. Next paragraph says, so first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Convert retreat into advance. Isn't an annual birthday every 365 days retreating back to infancy?
Yep.
Into the mother's arms to be protected by mom? Who's mom? The mother church. Rome. I'm not a mama's boy. I love my mom. Always did. Wish I would have told her more often. I miss her dearly. But it says convert retreat into advance. What if I'm frozen, if I'm in fixed position, if I'm settled, am I advancing?
No.
No. Why do I want to settle the account? I won't be settled until I'm dead. My biology is in motion for my entire existence. The evolutionary process alone with the cellular regeneration is motion. I don't stop moving until I'm dead. Convert retreat into advance. I'm advancing all the time if I'm living, if I'm uncut. Yeah. If I'm conscious of reality, it says, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Look what it says. Fear, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Infancy. Delta wave, mindset. Unreasoning. Childish. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It says, in every dark hour of our national life, I don't recall the nation existing before this. I know there was a country, but I didn't realize there was a nation. In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness. Frank. Do you know what frank means?
I am assuming, but probably no. Marked by free, forthright, and sincere expression, an unmistakable event, clinically evident and unmistakable, to mark with an official signature or sign indicating a right of a sender.
Go down to Frank 5 of 5. Go down to Frank 5 of 5 noun.
5 of 5 noun. I don't have 5 of 5 now.
You're not at Webster's?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
5 of 5 noun says a member of the West Germanic Tribal Confederacy that entered the Roman provinces in AD 253, occupied the Netherlands and most of Gaul, and established themselves among the Rhine. Frank.
Wow.
Hey, can we be frank? No, I prefer to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be in the present. I prefer to be, what I'm getting at is, you got to be careful for what, we don't know what he meant.
Uh-uh.
I'm extracting ideas of a nation. What nation are they talking about? I don't recognize a nation existing before. And the country isn't the nation. It's not the same thing as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
But look what it says. This is a preeminently the time, I'm going back to paragraph 2, the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. So now he said it twice.
Mm-hmm.
In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and of vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. I am convinced that you will again give that support to leadership in these critical days. This is 1933.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they call the Depression began in 29, mm-hmm. did it not?
Right.
I'm going to say something here that most people won't get. When I implant into the wall of the uterus, do I not make a depression?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Into the uterine wall. Yes, I have depressed that uterine wall material. It's depressed.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it when mom feels depression after she gives she bores a baby? Post?
Postpartum depression.
Postpartum depression. There's a depression. When the baby comes out, he leaves a depression.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking biology all the time because they are.
Yeah.
I'm certain. I'm certain of it because it only means something when you look at it biologically. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I just went back to the Lions Club.
Yeah.
Because in 1925, the Lions Club becomes the Knights of the Blind. Helen Keller addresses the Lions at the International Convention in Cedar Point, Ohio. She famously challenges the Lions to become Knights of the Blind in a crusade against darkness. This begins a century-long mission impacting hundreds of millions of lives through vision-related work. And then in 1945, they're part of the NGO, which is the retail or the corporate side of the United Nations, of establishing that. They talk about NGOs
really?
All the time. Yeah.
Non-government organizations?
Right. Yeah.
Next
I sent you the
paragraph.
link.
Thank you.
Go
I'll
ahead.
probably post it. It says, next paragraph says, in such a spirit on my part and on yours, we face our common difficulties in our spirit. A ghost. And of course, if there's a common deposit or a public pool of biology, that's the common difficulties. In such spirit, on my part and on yours, we face our common difficulties. They concern, thank God, only material things.
Well,
isn't that the afterbirth?
Mm-hmm.
He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's talking about holding on to infancy. And, of course, the biology left behind after the cut evidences a birth certificated infant evidenced at 1 U.S.C. 8,
yeah.
Born alive infant. It says values have shrunk. Values have shrunk. Does that sound like a reduction?
Mm-hmm.
If I value my whole life from fertilization to last breath, if they cut a piece of me off, they have reduced me.
Mm-hmm.
So the value of my existence, the value of my life has shrunk. What if I accept that? What if I accept the birthday? What if I accept infancy? What if I sell myself short? Values have shrunk to fantastic levels. Taxes have risen. Our ability to pay has fallen. Government of all kinds is faced by serious curtailment of income. Look at fallen is the cut. Income implies something that comes in after the fact. That's
mm-hmm.
Brown versus Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
The means of exchange. The means of exchange are frozen.
Wow.
In the currents of trade. The withered leaves of industrial enterprise lie on the very side. Leaves. Portfolio, the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Withered leaves of industrial enterprise lie on every side. Farmers find no markets for their produce, and the savings of many years in thousands of families are gone. More important, a host of unemployed citizens face the grim problem of existence, and an equally great number toil with little return. Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment. Next page. There's so much in this, Linda. It would take months to go through this.
Yeah.
And yet, our distress comes from no failure. Our distress comes from no failure of substance. We are stricken by no plague of locusts compared with the perils which our forefathers conquered because they believed and were not afraid. We have still much to be thankful for. Nature still offers her bounty and human efforts have multiplied it. Plenty is at our doorstep, but a generous use of it languishes in the very sight of the supply. Primarily, this is because the rulers of the exchange of mankind's goods have failed through their own stubbornness and their own incompetence, have admitted their failure, and have abdicated. Well, who's that? That's us. The rulers of the exchange. The rulers of the exchange of mankind's goods. What they're doing is they're trying to make it look like capitalism has failed.
Yeah.
But remember, capital is head, and head
is
head. Origin. Is origin,
uh-huh.
or it's your ability to comprehend, or your self-governance. It says, and have abdicated. Again, if your kingdom begins at fertilization and ends with last breath, and you're the king, but you continue to act like the infant subject to regency, you've abdicated your throne. You've abdicated your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Practices of the unscrupulous money changers stand indicted in the court of public opinion, rejected by the hearts and minds of men. True, they have tried, but their efforts have been cast in the pattern of an outworn tradition. Outworn tradition. Wow. Choice of words here is amazing to me. Faced by failure of credit, they have proposed only the lending of more money. This is 1933, by the way, March 4th. Stripped of the lure of profit by which to induce our people to follow their false leadership, they have resorted to exhortations, pleading tearfully for the restored confidence, for restored confidence. They only know the rules of generation, of a generation of self-seekers. They have no vision, and when there is no vision, the people perish. I have to go to the definition of vision, because you just said something about being blind. And John 10:25 talks about now I once was blind, but now I see. So I need to see what vision means or can mean. See if I can apply it. Vision. I'm going back to vision here. They have no vision. And when there is no vision, the people perish. Okay, I'm going to go to vision, but then I'm going to go down to 2B at vision. Now, there's a lot of these that apply, but I want to do... I'll go to 2B first. It says, a thought, concept, or object formed by the imagination. A thought, concept, or object formed by the imagination. Well, I'm going to just focus on one word here, concept, conception.
Mm-hmm.
And conception means implantation.
Mm-hmm.
And implantation results in the accretion. And the implantation results in the fetal-maternal placenta. Now read it, placenta. When they have no vision. And when there's no vision, conception, placenta, the people perish. In other words, if you don't stop over in the uterine wall, if you don't stop there, if you don't implant, if there's no conception,
there's no people.
There's no people because you get washed out of the uterus. There's no pregnancy.
Yeah.
So they're using vision. They can, and but vision can mean conception, and conception can also mean implantation. And implantation, mm-hmm. if implantation doesn't occur, there's no baby. The people perish.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that it's the conception or the implantation that is required not to perish. That's a true statement. Don't get me wrong. But what comes first, fertilization or conception?
Fertilization.
Right. And vision also can be what? The ability to look at things and see them for what they really are. That's what we're doing. We're looking at these words. We're looking at what's hidden in amongst all this stuff, and you realize that all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath does what? It doesn't hide anything.
Right. It's the truth.
It's the truth. The whole truth.
It's the truth.
And nothing but the truth. Look at vision also down at 3C. A direct mystical awareness of the supernatural, usually invisible form. Supernatural. So I'm going to go to supernatural real quick. Supernatural. Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Adjective, of or relating to an order of existence. Is that all present and accounted for from fertilization to last
mm-hmm.
breath?
Mm-hmm.
Is a birthday in a proper order?
No.
Not if it's considered an origin, not if it's the beginning. It's out of order.
Right.
It says, of or relating to an order of existence beyond the visible, observable universe. Here's my question, Linda. When my zygote conceptus plants into the uterine wall, can those outside of mom's womb see it?
No.
No. So the implantation, the conception into the uterine wall is outside, it's beyond the visible, observable universe, isn't it?
So it's fertilization.
Right. All of it, everything happening, but the baby created at fertilization is visible when baby comes out.
Yes.
So the product of fertilization is visible in the form of the baby, but the relationship of implantation is not visible because baby is not visible in the womb connected to the uterine wall. So that's beyond the visible observable universe.
Well, and it's also talking about an order of existence. So the order is fertilization, implantation, birthing, born, being
Well, there
born.
you go. There you go.
There's an
You're right.
order.
There's an order. So I was created first. 5, 6, 7 days later, God rests, and I plant into the uterine wall. And then I, for the next so many weeks, months, whatever, I through evolutionary due process, I become the baby, and then I come out of the womb. I cross the threshold of the vagina out into the world. That's an order of existence. But all the stuff happening in the womb is beyond observable.
Yes.
Now, supernatural number two says, departing from what is usual or normal, especially so as to appear to transcend the laws of nature, or attributable to an invisible agent, supernatural, such as a ghost or spirit. Here's my question. Now, we can't see the air we breathe, so that's already invisible. It's an invisible agent. But here's what's really
Right.
weird. Can I see you? Or do I see a body?
If I was in your presence,
Do I see you or do I see a body?
you see a body.
I see a body, so supernatural says attributable to an invisible agent. Do I see you or do I see the body of Linda?
You see the body of Linda
So
that
the
the
I.
spirit occupies.
Right, so the I inside the body, governing the body. Do I see the I?
No.
Okay, but here's a really weird thing, and I know this is true. If I look into your eyes, and we're both present, completely present, do we see each other?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very hard thing to do. It's hard. It's even hard for me to look in my own son's eyes because the feeling is overwhelming of love. When I look into my
Just
son's eyes,
thinking.
I could cry because it's so overwhelming. The amount of love for the I inside his body, the being inside his body, the love of who he is, all the way. It's so overwhelming. I could break down and cry. I'm afraid to look in people's eyes, Linda. I'm afraid to look in people's eyes because I'd be sobbing all day long.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to sob all day long, I tell you.
No, I mean I look into Debbie's eyes and it's the same damn thing. I don't care how bad our relationship is or how good it is.
Yeah.
The fact is that when I
I'm
look into
serious.
somebody's eyes and I see them. I see them. I see the eye. If they're
They're
present,
present.
if they're present, it's almost impossible for me to not break down sobbing because that connection, that resonance with the another being at that level, it is so overwhelming to me. But and seriously, when you start looking into the beings, but they need to be present. Which means that there has to be somebody aware enough. If you're looking into the eyes of somebody that is not present, you don't see it. You want to see it, but you don't. So only another fully present supreme being. When you look into their eyes, when I look, I'm serious. I even think about looking into my son's eyes. He's 31 years old.
Yeah.
The connection is so powerful to me, and the desire to protect him and to make everything okay, even though I know I can't. Mm-hmm. The thing is that the connection between the beings is so overwhelming to me
it's completely
hard. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, just thinking about staring into your eyes, I can feel that and the opening. You know, I mean, I had the privilege as a nanny with the little girl I took care of for 5 years. The first year of her life, we just stare into each other's eyes. It was so beautiful. And laugh, and it was just...
The other day, I'm trying to think of where Debbie and I were. We were out and about, and I think we were... maybe even in a restaurant somewhere. And this...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where? No, wait. We were... Where were we? A dad... Oh, we were out. We were out to dinner. We were watching a friend of mine play. It was Friday night. We were watching him play a set. He's a acoustic guitarist. And one of the girls working there must have had a son. I think it was a little boy. And her dad, which would have been grandpa, I mean, she was working, so she was a waitress. Mm-hmm. But her dad, because I could tell that the little boy was her son when she picked him up and whatever, but she was working. And so dad and grandma were probably there watching the child as the girl was working. Just they brought the child there while she was working. But anyway, this little boy looked over at me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was, you know, he's probably only... you know, less 30 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and our eyes locked, and he wouldn't look away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he kept turning. I mean, once he looked away, he kept, and then he turned away and looked back at me again.
Mm-hmm.
That link between beings is there. It's really there.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to separate us. That's how they divide us. They divide us.
Yeah.
By color, they divide us by wealth, they divide us by clothing, haircut, tattoos. They divide us in every possible way, religions, politics, every way they can, because the moment we start looking into each other's eyes, there's no division.
They can't.
For those that are present, I gotta qualify it, Linda, for those that are present.
Absolutely. I hear you completely. I agree 100%.
And how about this? Every morning, what we should all do is get up in the morning and instead of looking at our clothes and our feet and our fingernails and toenails and our, we need to shave, we need to comb our hair, what we need to do is spend the first minute or so looking into the mirror in our own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be hard to do. That'd be really hard to do. Mm-hmm. You probably start sobbing then because you'll start to recognize yourself and realize what a fuck up you've been up to now. I know I do. I know I feel that way.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's like that Arthur Schindler, you know, in Schindler's List. You don't feel like you're doing enough. You're not doing enough to move in a direction where I don't like talking about peace. I don't like talking about all this flowery bullshit. I like reality, and I think reality is we know the truth, but we choose against it. We choose away from it. We don't ever accept the truth, you know. But the moment we do, everything is okay.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Let me see. Back to, yes, the money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. We may now restore that temple to the ancient truths. The measure, oh my God, there's the cut. The measure of that restoration lies in the extent to which we apply social values more noble than mere monetary profit. Social values. There's the fetal-maternal bondage, the bond. They call it a bundle of rights. And it's the bundle of rights that leads to the social contract of the masses, the infant masses. And, of course, the infant masses are the ones that are being misled or managed by both politicians and religious folk. Next, it says happiness lies not. Go ahead.
Well, we went over extent earlier.
Okay, let me go back to that sentence then. The measure of that restoration lies in the extent to which we apply social values more noble than mere monetary profit. Okay, this is a thing though. It says the measure of that restoration, if the measure is the cut, and the cut includes all of my biology, but then a part of mom. Part of mom, Mother Earth or mom.
Mm-hmm.
My biology is my kingdom. And I'm the sovereign over my own biology, my own kingdom. It says, but the measure of restoration lies in the extent to which we apply social values. Now look what they did. They're including more than me.
Mm-hmm.
They're including mom. So they're extending my reach into the maternal. Now, I have a right of way over that. There's no doubt about it. And in the womb, I'm the first one there. I'm the only one there. Mom gave it to me to use while I'm there. I have a right of way. There's no doubt about that. In nature, I have a right of way.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes out of mom as the afterbirth, the placenta, and they place that on deposit like it's a social contract between me and everybody else. Remember what's left behind. I keep evolving. My evolutionary due process turned me into this man sitting in front of this computer right now 64 years later. But what do they have on deposit? They have biology that evidences my infancy. And that infancy is not evolved. It's not evolved to this extent. In fact, what they did is they place that lowest common denominator on deposit. That's the Procrustean cut. That's Procrustius. There's no equality in nature, so what did they do? They cut a piece of us all off as infants and placed all of those infants into a singular public pool. But that the infancy is the lowest version of yourself, Linda. It's the lowest common denominator. And what's a denomination? What's a denomination? I'm going to go to denominator or denomination because the birth certificated person is the lowest common. I'm look at how far I've evolved, hopefully. I'm at the highest I've ever been right now, but what they placed on deposits, the lowest common denominator. So I'm going to denominator or denomination. See, I still get worked up over this crap. I'm trying not to. LMNOP. Okay, denomination.
I just want to point out, before you do denomination, what's the word extend? But we started with detail, the devil's in the details, which is what we're looking at right near now in this inaugural address.
The detail is the measure. It's the piece cut off
mm-hmm.
of you, the part that's been forgotten, that is no longer, I mean, well, it's always part of the whole, but we have left it behind. We have allowed it to become a detail. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, that's where the devil lives. If we are 100% in alignment with truth from fertilization to last breath, all present and accounted for, there is no detail.
Mm-mm.
I left nothing on the table. There is nothing for somebody to find.
There's no detail to use for retail.
And no detail to use for retail. I love that.
I love that.
Denomination at page 391, Black's Law, 5th edition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where are we going?
Page 391, Black's Law, 5th edition. It says denomination, the act of naming. Curtis Richard Kallenbach is a denomination.
Yeah.
It says, and it's because it's the denomination of the lowest common denominator, the Procrustean cut, known as the birth certificated person. It says, a society of individuals known by the same name, usually a religious society. Well, there's Christianity, and it's born to the what? Gregorian calendar, created by Pope Gregory, and it's Latin Catholic. It is literally the Catholic Church. It is a juristic person, a juristic person. It is the Catholic Church, and it's the lowest common denominator. Now he goes on to say, denomination, usually a religious society, denominational, of or pertaining to a denomination, a sectarian, a denominational institution, an institution controlled or operated by a religious sect or organization, and hence forbidden to receive government aid because of constitutional separation of church and state. So again, they clamp and cut the cord, and it becomes what? A religious person. A religious what? A spiritual mendicant. Somebody that is subject to a religious order, that is accepted a vow of poverty. So now they have no access to anything as far as the state goes. So they're just wandering mendicants, beggars.
Mm-hmm.
The entire population are beggars and are treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what this says. I'm going to go to the word sect real quick, because they said, usually a religious, a sectarian. There's two more things I want to do in here. I'm going to go to sect. But remember, section, like a C section, Caesar's section, Caesarian section is Caesar's section. That's the cut. That's the cut. So I'm going to section. But before I do that, sect.
Are we going in black?
Yeah, I'm in Black's Law right now. Back. There it is. But I'm also going to go to religious first, because I have to do this right now before I forget. Religion. Religion. I'm at Black's Law, page 1161. Religion. Man's relation to divinity. To reverence, worship, obedience, and submission to mandates and precepts of supernatural or superior beings. Supernatural or superior. Remember, supernatural, we already discussed that. Or superior beings. By the way, if I say superior being, doesn't it imply presence or your being present? To be or not to be. You make the choice.
Yeah.
I prefer to be here now. That's being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a superior being. It's a supreme being. But it goes on to say, in its broadest sense, includes all forms of belief in the evidence of superior beings exercising power over human beings by volition, imposing rules of conduct with future rewards and punishments. Look at that. Superior beings exercising power over human beings. I think that's consciousness over the animal.
Yeah.
If my biology is the human being from fertilization, it's just the biology, but my superior being is my biology plus my consciousness, my ability to think critically, to be reasonable, to be civilized. If all those things evidence my supreme or superior position over the animal, I have my dog on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cause problems if my dog is on a leash. It goes, bond uniting, this is still religion, bond uniting man to God. That sounds like federal, small f.
Yep.
Man's covenant with God. And where does that
mm-hmm.
begin? It begins at fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
And John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. I and the zygote are one and the same. My origin and me. That which I come from. I come from the zygote. That which creates controls. Wait a minute, Kurt. If the zygote created you, but you and the zygote are one, it says that which creates controls. Don't you control yourself? I sure do. That which creates controls. If the zygote's the father and its offspring is the embryo, fetus, and baby, and the baby recognizes that the baby and the zygote are one in the same exact godly estate, then The conscious man controls himself. That which creates controls. If I recognize that me and that which from which I come, I should say, are one and the same, then I control myself. That's called sovereignty. From fertilization to last breath, all present and accounted for. There it is right there. That which creates controls. Bond uniting man to God, and a virtue whose purpose is to render God worship due him as source of all being and principle of all government and all government of things. I and my Father are one. We're right back to that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next paragraph says, as used in constitutional provisions of First Amendment, forbidding the establishment of religion, the term means a particular system of faith and worship recognized and practiced by a particular church, sect, or denomination. That's right out of Black's Law. Well, what's particular? Mm-hmm. It's the war.
It's the war. Mm-hmm.
So if you're allowing the birth certificated particular person into your world, that's the cut. That particular end does not exist when you recognize all present and accounted for from fertilization and last breath. When you know your godly origins, fertilization, there is no particular end. There's no war. Okay, now I'm going to sect on page 1214 because that's kind of what I was reading about. Sect, as applied to religious bodies. A party or body of persons who unite in holding certain special doctrines or opinions concerning religion, which distinguish them from others holding the same general religious belief. Look at that. If I believe in God, or if I call it God, that's very orthodox. If a Roman Catholic believes in God, but also believes in Jesus, that's not the same thing. If God is creation or origin, but then you throw a middleman or an intermediary, a middleman, into the mix, well, between me and God, between me and creation, there is no middleman. But all of a sudden you come up with some special middleman that you control. Now you're talking about a sect, a section,
mm-hmm.
C-section, Caesar's mm-hmm. section. And, of course, a lot of Bible people would say, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, I'm not in Rome. Never been there.
Yeah.
And, of course, what's the official religion of Rome? Christianity. So if I profess Christianity, that's a religious sect. And it has its own what? Denomination. What do we see the Gregorian calendar denomination? What does it look like in my case, if I were to claim it? Curtis Richard Kallenbach is a sect. It's a section. It's a denomination. It's a C-section. And I'm supposed to render unto Caesar that section when I come into Rome, which I've never been to, by the way. I've been to Italy, but I've never actually been to Rome. All right.
I actually have. I've been to Rome.
You have, yeah.
Yep.
By the way, secta, S-E-C-T-A, secta, in Old English law, is a suit, S-U-I-T.
Mm-hmm.
It's a suit. So secta, if you think of the material covering you in the womb, the membrane, the member, also known as the amnion, also known as the lamb, that's the suit. If you're claiming the lamb separately as secta, it's the suit. It's the suit of armor. But it's made up by man.
Mm-hmm.
The label, the ideas, they're all man-made. In nature, you don't need any of that.
Look at the next. It says secta est pugna civilis. Just the first part of that. It says a suit is a civil warfare.
There it is. A suit is a civil warfare. And, of course, the suit is the particular end.
Yep.
Definition of war, right in Webster's at 2B. A particular end. And what is the particular end? The part cut off. Umbilical cord,
yep.
Once it's separated, it gives rise to a suit. And, of course, they now call that what? The UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code.
Mm-hmm.
The suit is the uniform.
As we said earlier, you can't have war and peace at the same time. The mutual exclusivity, that's where that came from.
Yes. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, I'm going to keep reading because, you know, we can maybe get through most of this, actually, or at least a lot of it. Not if we go this slow. But, okay, so where are we here?
Yes, the money changers was, I think, where we were at.
Where are they? Yeah, yes, the money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. Look at that. The money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. Remember, the civil is the conscious. The civil is the critical. The civil is the reasonable. And it says the money changers have fled from their high seats, from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. The money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of our civilization. Now, civilization to me is a manufactured position. To be civil, again, I already have it. I have it naturally. A lot of us do. We don't need a piece of paper to say that we're civilized.
Right.
I don't need to claim anything. I just have to act, and I am. I am civil by their term, by their definition. But it says the money changers have fled from their high seats. I'm going to go to the Libra Code at Article 38. General Orders 100, which were put in place during the Civil War. It says, Francis Lieber promulgated the General Orders 100 by President Lincoln, 24 April 1863. So during the Civil War, the General Orders 100 were put in place. I'm going to Article 38 just for the heck of it, because it says, the money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple. The money changers. Now I'm concerned with the fleeing. Who's fleeing what? Why has somebody fled? It says their high seats in the temple. The temple is our own consciousness.
Yeah.
So we have fled. The money changers. Value. Me, when I bring my energy to the equation, when I bring my energy, that's my value. So I'm changing my energy into something else. In the United States, I would change it into gold.
Mm-hmm.
I would change my energy into gold. So when I produce something, I expect through the medium of exchange of gold value, my energy is supposed to be traded in gold.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States. But it says the money changers have fled. So now I'm not receiving gold for my energy anymore.
Right.
Did I accept something I didn't recognize? Well, I don't know. When did House Joint Resolution 192 happen? HJR 192.
Well, it was before you were born.
Well, June. 2 months later, 2 months later, after this inaugural address, what did FDR do? He confiscated all the gold.
Right.
He made it illegal to own gold. Why? Because they're taking all of the ability for somebody like me to exchange my energy for the true medium of exchange, which was gold in the United States. And they gave me what? They gave me they gave me a token. They gave me a token. The birth certificated person's a token. It's a colored person. It's a person of color. It's a legal fiction. That's what I mean, a person of color. So it's a token. Yeah. They gave me a token. And that and the only way I can pay the bill is through the sacrifice, because there's no money. They took all the money, they took all the gold out of the system in House Joint Resolution 192, right 2 months after this, June 5th, 1933. Mm-hmm. They took all the money out of the system, and they said, we're going to give you a merit-based form of payment, a debt-based note, a token, that you can exchange your blood sacrifice, to pay the charges. That's called, we're going to call it equity. But we can save that for another day. I just wanted to point out that HJR 192 happened within 2 months of this inaugural address, where he says the money changers have fled from their high seats. I'm going back to General Orders 100, Article 38, where it says private property. That's my energy. Article 38, it says private property, which is my energy. My energy is private property. It says private property unless forfeited by crimes or by offenses of the owner. Yeah. What? Doing what? Trading with the enemy, 1917. If I'm trading with the enemy, my private property is forfeited.
Yeah.
So it says, unless forfeited by crimes or by offenses of the owner, can be seized only by way of military necessity for the support or benefit of the Army or the United States. And it goes on to say what? Remember that the Roman Catholic Church is undermining the United States with this birth certificate, with this character, with this nation. They're undermining the United States. So the United States is trying to protect itself from what? From the sect, from the particular sect. It goes on to say, if the owner has not fled, if he doesn't run away, the commanding officer will cause receipts to be given which may serve the spoliated owner to obtain indemnity. So if I stand my ground, if I know that I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization to last breath, which is equity, that knowledge is indemnity, and it's also known as what? Sovereign immunity.
Sovereign immunity. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it says, may serve the spoliated owner to obtain indemnity, and indemnity is immunity. So I'm indemnified. I'm insured against my property being taken. Now, of course, my property is taken. When they clamp and cut the umbilical cord, they take my biology along with the maternal accretion.
Yep.
So the owner... If I don't flee, if I don't run away, if I'm not a coward, if I'm not an infant, if I don't act like a baby, if I'm not a mama's boy, if I stand my ground, then as the sovereign, the owner, the sovereign owner from fertilization to last breath will be indemnified, and that indemnity is my equity, but it's natural equity. I'm standing my ground, which is nothing more than me telling the truth. That's all I'm doing. I'm only telling the truth. And remember, John 8:32, King James Version says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So you're free of the bondage. You're free of the bondage to Rome, when you actually speak and know and live the truth from fertilization to last breath. That's equity. Wow. Now it's getting deep.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we'll get through two pages. The money changers have fled from their high seats in the temple of So if I lose my mind to the birthday, if I adopt the birth certificated child in place of my own life, I fled.
Mm-hmm.
I remain an infant forever. By celebrating that birthday, the birth infant, The child provided by the state, the birth certificated child provided by the state, I abandon my own life. It looks like I sacrificed. It looks like I sacrificed my own being, my own I am-ness. That's because that's what you do when you take on the Gregorian calendar character frozen in time between the year 1 and 2024. I've abandoned the present moment, which is my I am-ness. That's Jesus. I am being sacrificed. I'm sacrificing my own present, freezing myself in a time frame. I'm now situated. I am now settled, and I don't move anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a settlement. Goes on to say, if the money changers have fled, in other words, if I'm the sovereign, Linda, and I don't use this term lightly, but sovereignty begins at fertilization. Sovereignty is wholeness. If I'm whole, then I'm the only one that has a right to exchange my energy. My energy is my private property.
Yes.
So it says the money changers. I'm the one with the money. I'm the one with the energy. I'm the one with the value. And I'm supposed to be using something, a means of exchange that was supposed to be provided by the government, which was at one point gold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says if they have fled from their high seats in the temple, meaning if I lose my ability to self-govern, the temple is my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
If I abdicate my throne as the king, then I have fled my own mind. You know what they call that? The IRS calls it revenue. Revenue.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've revenued my mind. I've now taken on an infancy and a regency that requires assistance, and that assistance is evidenced by the IRS. Income.
Yep.
I'm using something that's coming from somewhere else. Rome.
Uh-huh.
It's income. So I've lost my mind. My mind itself is my temple. My body's my temple. But as one, mind, body, and spirit, from fertilization to last breath, I'm self-governing, self-determining, unless I revenue my mind to their character, the state-born character, the birth certificated person. Now I've lost my mind. I have fled my high seat, my self-governance. My sovereignty, I fled by taking on the infancy.
Yep.
The alternative. It says we may now restore that temple to the ancient truths. The measure of that restoration lies in the extent to which we apply social values more noble than mere monetary profit. So they're going to do what? They're going to restore something that was taken from you. But wait a minute here. Jesus, their Jesus, at Luke 5:31 says, they that are whole need not a physician. Restoration. Remember what the result of the Civil War was. They call it the what? Reconstruction Acts. The 14th Amendment, the Due Process 14th Amendment Clause, is a Reconstruction Act. I don't need to be reconstructed. I've evolved beyond infancy. I don't need infancy reconstructed. I don't need the implantation. I don't need to be reconnected or recorded to mom or mother. I've evolved beyond it. 64 years.
I'm already
goes on to say,
with the ancient truths.
Already.
Which is,
it's just part of the evolutionary process.
Right.
I've never been disconnected from it.
I can't be disconnected from it and be alive. It's impossible.
No.
Biologically.
So it goes on to say, happiness lies not in the mere possession of money. It lies in the joy of achievement, in the thrill of creative effort. The joy, the moral stimulation of work, no longer must be forgotten in the mad chase of evanescent profits. I need to go to evanescent. Wow. Excuse me. Evanescent. Evanescent prophets tending to vanish like vapor. Tending to vanish like vapor. Evanescent prophets. Vapor. Ghosts.
Yeah.
Mad chase of ghostly prophets or prophets. It says, these dark days, my friends, will be worth. By the way, my friends. I mean, the Society of Friends were. What were the Society of Friends called? Quakers.
Quakers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will be worth, that's just one, that's one example, the friends, will be worth all they cost us. These dark days, my friends, will be worth all they cost us. These dark days, my friends, will be worth all they cost us if they teach us that our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves. Oh, my God, there it is right there, to our fellow men.
What?
But to minister to ourselves. That's recognizing the truth. That's accepting the truth from fertilization to last breath. We don't need the administrative process. Jesus, in his own words, say, they that are whole need not a physician. It's right there. Our true destiny is not to be ministered unto, but to minister to ourselves. Nobody's coming to save you.
No.
And our fellow men. Recognition that falsity of material wealth as the standard of success goes hand in hand with the abandonment of the false belief that public office and high political position are to be valued only by the standards of pride of place and personal profit. I got to read that again. Recognition of that falsity of material wealth as the standard of success goes hand in hand with the abandonment of the false belief that public office and high political position are to be valued. Okay, public office. That's Isaiah 9:6.
Mm-hmm.
And the government shall be upon his shoulders. A child is born unto us, a child is born, a son is given. That's the birth certificate person. It says, with the abandonment of the false belief that public office and high political position are to be valued. I'm sorry. I mean, that's all fiction. It says, and there must be an end to a conduct in banking and in business which too often has given to a sacred trust the likeness of callous and selfish wrongdoing. Is given to a sacred trust the likeness of callous and selfish wrongdoing. That's the image. That's the representation. It says, small wonder that confidence languishes, for it thrives only on honesty, on honor, and on the sacredness of obligations, on faithful protection, and on unselfish performance. Without them, it cannot live. Look at that. Honesty, honor, sacredness of obligations, on faithful protection. That's reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know what's really funny is that the word grace, is also tied to the word honor. And grace, I mean, the grace of God, it's from the beginning. It's from fertilization. Next line says, restoration calls, however, not for changing in ethics alone. This nation is asking for action and action now. This nation. What nation? The one he just created? The consecrated nation?
Huh? Last paragraph.
The one nation under God. The last paragraph of page 2 says, our greatest primary task is to put people to work. Primary task. This is no unsolvable problem if we face it wisely and courageously. Primary, by the way, is really weird. It says our greatest primary task. Again, primary. The birth certificated child is primary. Think about that. Our greatest primary task is to put people to work. I mean, within 2 years of this speech, they created the Social Security number. And it's attached to the primary character. And that's people to work through a union, a labor union. Of course, labor is what mom does to produce the character. I was going to say, it can be accomplished in part. It can be accomplished in part by direct recruiting by the government itself, treating the task as we would treat the emergency of a war, but at the same time through this employment, accomplishing greatly needed projects to stimulate and reorganize the use of our great natural resources. I'm going to go to the definition of task, EASK. Look at this. A task is a usually assigned piece of work, often to be finished within a certain time. A task, a usually assigned piece of work, often to be finished within a certain time. If they clamp and cut the umbilical cord, Linda, the part of you left behind, is it complete? No, it can't be completed. It's been separated from the present, from the doer. But it says a usually assigned piece of work, often to be finished within a certain time. I'm telling you that the clamping and cutting of the cord, it's to fail. It's a failure. They call it fail. It is to fail. But task also says it's a duty or a function, a duty or a function, a duty. If I come into the country from another country, my first stop is typically at what?
The hospital.
If I come in on a jet from another country.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, implantation, when you implant into the wall.
No, when I fly in from another country, where's my first stop?
At duty, the port of entry, the duty. You have to go through the port of entry.
Customs,
yeah.
I stop at customs, and they ask me to do what? Declare. Do I have anything to declare?
Yeah.
Declaration. But duty is weird because at 1 USC, or at 18, no, at 22, I'm sorry, at 22 USC.
Yeah.
288B, they're talking about duty. And it says that, and we're always talking about the same thing, if you understand this, it says, pursuant to regulations prescribed by the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Now, think about what that is, Customs and Border Protection. With the approval of the Secretary of Treasury, the baggage and effects of alien officers and employees of international organizations or of aliens designated by foreign governments to serve as their representatives in or to such organizations or of the families, suites, and servants of such officers, employees, or representatives. Here it is. I'm going to... Baggage and effects shall be admitted when imported in connection with the arrival of the owner, free of customs duties and free of internal revenue taxes imposed upon by or by reason of importation. Let me say that again. I'm gonna extract when it says the bags and effects shall be admitted when imported in connection with the arrival of the owner, free of customs duties and free of internal revenue taxes. Bags and effects is the afterbirth. The bags and effects is the afterbirth. It says bags and effects shall be admitted when imported in connection with the arrival of the owner. The baby is the owner of the afterbirth. It says imported in connection with the owner. That's the umbilical cord. So when the bags and effects are still connected to the baby. Now, it sounds like I'm speaking 100% physically. Physically, it's easy. But if the bags and effects are imported in connection with the arrival of the owner, mentally, if I know that I'm all present and accounted for from fertilization and last breath, I didn't, even though they cut a piece off of me, Linda, I didn't leave anything back there because I'm still using it. I'm still using the evolutionary due process of that material from fertilization, from the zygote. I'm still using it. So as long as I know my godly origin is fertilization, I'm still connected to it. I'm still connected to it. I'm still governing it through my own consciousness, my knowledge of its existence. So now I'm not physically connected to it. I've evolved beyond it anyway. But it says, shall be admitted when imported in connection with the arrival of the owner. So wherever I am, as long as I don't forget my godly origin, there is no duty. There's no customs duties, and there's no internal revenue taxes imposed by bringing something in at a later date. I'm always present, and I'm always whole.
And it's also supported in Maryland versus, what is it?
Brown v. Maryland.
Brown v. Maryland,
The original package.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, there is no emergency of war. There is no task. All of the stuff that he was speaking of, when I look at this stuff, I mean, and again, we at some point we'll pick up maybe, but this is the mindset. This is the mindset that when we recognize the truth and we see what they've done, beginning at FDR's New Deal with the devil. It's a deal with the devil. Through what? The details leading to the retail. What did you say?
Details. So you can use it for retail. I don't remember how I said it.
Yeah, well, it's the details that are being retailed, that are being sold.
Yeah.
And that's the selling of your soul. That's the selling of your origin. It's the selling of everything. Because, again, everything begins at fertilization. Everything begins in the book. In my book, First in Time, the very first page says, ex uno desis omnes. From one thing, you can discern all. From the zygote.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one thing, the beginning, the origin. From that moment to this moment as I speak, it's all one.
Mm-hmm.
There is no fiction. There's no fictional aspect to the truth. The truth just is, in spite of everything man-made or divisive or whatever. The truth is freedom. Well, we only got through page two, and there's five pages. I'll put the whole thing up in the notes.
Hey, but we got through page two despite ourselves.
Well, and again, this stuff is really fun now. I mean, it really is fun at this level of thought. I feel sorry for all the Patriot organizations that are scratching and clawing because they're so far away from reality. You know, they're just making shit up. You know, state national, made up, more bullshit. You know, all the stuff that they're doing is bullshit. The 14th Amendment doesn't apply because evolutionary due process negates it. I don't need to be reconstructed. I've evolved beyond infancy. I went through it, but I'm beyond it.
Yep.
I used to be in the water. I used to be in the waters of mother, but now I'm on the land. Still, all one life. All one life. Again, from the very first page. Ex uno dices omnes. From one thing you can discern all. If you're looking at the zygote and you're being critical and you know that the zygote evolves, it says from one thing you can discern all. What some people would say is what? Well, it's in the water. So the zygote's subject to what? Admiralty law. It's a boat. It's your vessel. It's your Ark of the Covenant. It's the Ark. You're Noah, and it's the Ark. Okay, I get that. Well, you're in the water, so it's subject to admiralty or maritime. I know, but I evolved beyond it, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
It's both. I'm from the water, but I'm also for the land. Environmentally, I'm both. So
mm-hmm.
the land, air, and water, the law, land, air, and water are all one. It's for all one existence, from fertilization to last breath. You can't separate my water existence from my land existence or from my need for air. That's what they're doing. They're dividing to conquer. They're dividing to conquer. All right.
Yep.
Well, I think that's the title. Divide to conquer.
Yeah.
That's right. Love you, lady.
Hey, did you get a package?
Maybe, but not yet.
Okay. It just said it was delivered,
no.
So that's what was up.
Oh, it might be delivered right now. I don't know.
It said it was yesterday, so I didn't know.
Oh, well, maybe it's out there somewhere, and I haven't seen it.
It's out there somewhere.
I'll go look. All right. I'm gonna post this
right.
stuff. We'll talk in a day or so. All right. Love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.